hearts of weeping disappear every time I see your eyes. No matter how hard I try, understand the reasons that we carry on this way. We're lost in a masquerade.
All your life, you'll dream of this. Written by Attila. Read by Subiru. Fandom, 魔道祖师. Relationship, 冷战, 冷文集, 无营, 微无限. Rating, teen and up audiences. Summary, 冷文集 should refuse. He should. He looks back down at the mask. Beneath it is the soft, creamy paper of the invitation. He could present this at the door and slip into the palace and...
Go see him, Wangji,
Lan Xichen says quietly. And Lan Wangji feels his resolve crumble beneath him. A very loose Cinderella AU, featuring Lan Wangji as Cinderella, Wei Wuxian as Prince Charming, Lan Xichen as Fairy Godmother, the Forehead Ribbon as Glass Slipper, and Gu Su Lan Bedtime as Midnight. The invitation comes to the cloud recesses for the sake of politeness. But even the messenger delivering it at the gate doesn't really seem to expect anyone to accept. Lan Wangji, passing by with his older brother, feels his steps slow when he sees the man's livery and the wax seal on the paper. He allows himself the indulgence of wandering only for a moment before he forces himself to continue on as normal, turning his head away. His restraint is wasted. Lan Xichen, ever perceptive, catches the minute hesitation, and he doesn't keep walking when Lan Wenji does. With a smile, he stops, waving his hand at the gate guards when they straighten and begin to bow, one of them still clutching the paper.
Brother,
Lan Wenji forces himself to say, as neutrally as possible. Lan Xichen smiles at him guilelessly.
Do you want to see what that's about?
Without waiting for an answer, which would have been an unequivocal no, as he most certainly knows, he turns to the messenger, dressed in the uniform of the royal family servants. The man doesn't seem to realize he's been addressed by the leader of the country's most prestigious educational institute, but he bows politely anyway when Lan Xichen says,
You've come a long way.
Do you mind if I ask what you're delivering?
Not at all, sir, the man says. It's an invitation for anyone here who might wish to attend the royal family's 3-day masquerade next week, held in honor of the award Wei Wuxian. I think you'll have heard about it.
Oh, yes, I recall something like that,
Lan Xichen says, as if they haven't been interrupting stirring conversations about it for a month now. Lan Wenji fixes his eyes on a point in space that does not include his brother and tries to smother every thought that jumps into his head.
It sounds like quite the event to have been arranged so quickly, and I don't believe it's even his birthday. Do you know why they're going to such trouble?
The messenger hesitates. Well... Lan Wangji doesn't need to be looking at his brother to sense the way his body language becomes even more open and welcoming. The kind of person who's safe, to whom you can tell anything. It's the opposite of what he can feel his own body language doing, but the messenger seems to relax anyway, shifting his weight onto one leg and shrugging casually. Well, he repeats, with more certainty this time, apparently the king and queen want to marry him off. They're expecting him to find someone during the celebration. Lan Wangji focuses even harder on a nearby tree, as if memorizing the bark pattern will make it impossible for him to hear. It doesn't work. His brother's voice is still as clear as anything when he says encouragingly, Really?
I had no idea. That seems somewhat abrupt. Do you know why?
The messenger shuffles his feet on the flat stone path.
Ah, well, sir, he says. All I've heard is rumors, you know, and it's not really my place to say.
In fact, it is not, and discussing unsubstantiated rumors is quite thoroughly not allowed here, but Luangji can feel like a sixth sense. The way Lan Xichun's smile turns even more interested and non-judgmental.
His brother really has to stop spending so much time with Jing Wangyao. It's clearly been a bad influence.
Distantly, he listens to the two of them talk longer. His brother's gentle tones and the other man's increasingly friendly voice. And then the courier offers tentatively.
I heard there was a scandal. I heard...
A brief hesitation and then in a murmur.
I heard he got a girl pregnant.
The thin thread of Lan Wenji's self-control snaps with force that feels as though it ought to be audible. Perhaps it is to his brother, who winces, albeit minutely enough that it's probably invisible to everyone else.
Gossip,
Lan Wenji says, fixing the man with his coldest glare.
It's forbidden in the cloud recesses.
He stalks away, not waiting for a response, unable to move his thoughts past a few short sentences that chase themselves in circles around his head.
The king and queen want to marry him off. They expect him to find someone during the celebration.
Lan Wenji regulates his breathing, but it doesn't calm his mind.
Wei Ying is looking for someone to marry. Wei Ying is getting married. Wei Ying is going to be married.
It doesn't matter what words the thought is dressed in. Every time it comes, it feels like a heavier and heavier weight has settled inside of him. Lan Xichun brings up the invitation later, when he and Lan Wenji are discussing the day's events with their uncle. Lan Jirun scoffs.
I pity whomever has to marry that hellion. Still, I suppose we ought to send a gift with our refusal. I'll see to it something suitable is found.
Lan Wenji keeps his gaze down. His uncle has never been as good at reading him as his brother is, but the possibility is enough to make him invested in making sure that Lan Jirun never has the opportunity. There shouldn't be anything to read at all. But his traitorous heart beats faster anyway, quickening with something like jealousy or longing, heavy and erratic in his chest. Uncle, Lan Xichun says, his voice even and casual and not quite genuine. Lan Wenji stiffens.
Perhaps we should send someone to the ball after all, to be polite. The Jiangs have always been dedicated patrons of the cloud recesses after all. The prince and princess both studied here.
As did the ward before you threw him out.
And it is the royal family. It might be appropriate for one of us to make an appearance. I'm sure the king and queen would be pleased.
Lan Wenji feels like one of his rabbits in the presence of a predator. Someone. He both loves and hates his brother for even suggesting it. For knowing enough to suggest it. Eager. Terrified, feverish, frozen. His body seems to be in some kind of confused war with itself as it tries to feel everything at once. If just the thought of Wei Wuxian to someone to marry is enough to do this to him, he can't imagine what it would be like to actually go to Lotus Pier. It doesn't matter, though. Because his uncle immediately waves a dismissive hand.
Xichun, no one expects us to attend. They only sent an invitation because it would have been rude not to. Don't worry about Zhang Fengmian. He'd be more surprised if we did go and he had to entertain us. He huffs. Events like that are just needless displays of wealth and power that create excuses for lewd behavior. And in this case, I suppose, a way to find someone they can bribe to marry Wei Wuxian.
There will be no bribery necessary,
Lan Wenji thinks, remembering that infectious smile. But he keeps his mouth closed and ignores his brother's sidelong look. Pettily, he spends the next week assigning lines to any student he catches talking about the masquerade. He barely restrains himself from giving extra to anyone who so much as mentions the word marriage. He shuts himself in private corners of the library when he can and buries himself in work. Lan Jiren proudly holds him up as an example of a proper work ethic, and Lan Xichen leaves him alone. It doesn't occur to Lan Wangji to wonder at the reason for his brother's unusual reluctance to inquire into his personal life until the day of the party is slated to start, when Lan Xichen takes his elbow after dinner and gently tugs him along a path leading to their personal quarters. Lan Wangji knows from long years of experience that resistance will achieve nothing, especially when his older brother has that particular determined set to his shoulders. So he resigns himself to a well-meaning, mortifying conversation and lets himself be led. He's surprised, though, when instead of pouring them both tea, Lan Xichen goes to the side of the room and lifts up a long wooden box.
Wangji, he says, I have a gift for you.
Lan Wangji blinks. Had he seemed so despondent and despairing that his brother had thought he needed cheering up? That's even more humiliating somehow than just having to sit and drink tea and have his feelings be delicately pried into. But he loves his brother, so he murmurs his thanks and takes the box, setting it on the ground and kneeling to slide it open. It's quite large, but he's still expecting something practical. Something that might have made his kind brother think of him. New Gucci music, perhaps, or books. Tea, though there would have to be a lot of it to fill the space. Instead, what he finds is beautiful fine white silk cloth and a mask with two long rabbit ears curving back over his head instead of straight up into the air. He doesn't realize he's touching them until his brother says lightly,
"Less attention grabbing that way. And it might distract from your forehead ribbon. I imagine you'd rather no one realize you were from the Cloud Recesses. Was I wrong?"
Lan Wangji looks up and completely fails to find words. But that's never mattered with the person who's always known him first and best. Lan Xichen only smiles and says,
"Didn't you want to go to Lotus Spirit tonight?" "Uncle,"
Lan Wangji manages at last. The word comes out strangled, eking its way past the lump in his throat.
"Uncle never has to know. Lying is forbidden in the Cloud Recesses."
Lan Xichen raises his eyebrows.
"I didn't say we should lie to him. I just thought we might not tell him."
It's splitting hairs, and they both know it. Lan Wangji should say so. He should refuse. He should. He looks back down at the mask. Beneath it is the soft, creamy paper of the invitation. He could present this at the door and slip into the palace and...
"Go see him, Wangji,"
Lan Xichen says quietly. And Lan Wangji feels his resolve crumble beneath him.
"Lotus Pier is too far,"
he says, a last-ditch effort to keep sane. His mouth feels gravel dry. His fingers want to tremble. They barely hold steady over the cloth.
"Not for the head of the Lan family."
A door slides open silently under his brother's hand, revealing a bolt hole. An ancient piece of magic no one knows how to replicate anymore. Close the door in one place, and you'll open it again in another. They're perfect for escape routes, secret messages, and bringing supplies in and out during a siege. They are absolutely not for attending a party halfway across the country in secret.
"We aren't meant to use that except in emergencies,"
Lan Wangji says. Though he doesn't quite manage the offended horror he knows he should. Lan Xichen kneels in front of him and touches his shoulder gently. To me, he says, my little brother's happiness is an emergency. Lawanji swallows and doesn't meet his brother's eyes.
Just tonight,
he says.
Just one night. Just...
He's cut off with a light touch on his arm. Wanji, why don't I help you get dressed?
The bolt hole's other end is a secluded and unused cabin near Lotus Pier, the royal seat of the Jang family. And it's a short walk from there to the dusty main road. When he reaches it, the hard-packed earth is crowded with what feels like hundreds of people, walking and riding and sitting in litters, all eager for the masquerade. The air rings with laughter and idle gossip, with the neighs of horses and the shouts of parents trying to corral errant children. It seems the entire country has turned out to vie for the hand of someone who is almost a member of the royal family. Lawanji falls in with a group of girls, walking cheerfully and wearing matching flower masks. They look at him a little oddly, eyeing his fine clothes and clearly wondering why he's on foot. But they greet him kindly enough and let him stay silent as they chat about who they hope to dance with and what they want to see. A few giggle about how charming the royal ward is supposed to be, no matter how many whispered scandals surround him. Lawanji refrains from telling them that charming does not begin to cover it. The palace at Lotus Pier is delicate and warm, lovely in a very different way from the cloud recesses. But Lawanji barely sees it. All he can think is that these are the roads that we wish him must walk. These are the lakes that we wish him probably swims in. These are the trees he climbs. He's so busy seeing the shadow of Wei Wuxian that he can hardly see the city at all. And when he proffers his invitation and slips quietly into the back of the huge dance hall, he sees Wei Wuxian. Really Wei Wuxian, standing on the dais, with one arm carelessly thrown over the shoulder of a young man who must be Prince Zhang Wenyin, making Princess Zhang Yanli laugh, smiling that irrepressible grin. He's wearing black silks, and his mask is red and orange and yellow, like tongues of flame licking up his fine cheekbones. He looks dangerous. He looks like trouble, like he could give Lan Jiren an aneurysm just by existing. He looks beautiful. Lan Wenji tries, helplessly, to still his racing heart. He wants to race forward and say... But Wei Wuxian doesn't like him. Wei Wuxian has never liked him. Wei Wuxian would probably just laugh and say,
Lan Zhan, when someone as boring as you doing here?
Better not to greet him. Lan Wenji isn't supposed to be here after all, and it would do no good. What would he say? If you have to marry someone, let it be me? Lan Wenji cringes internally, drifting to the edge of the room, standing by a window and watching without calling attention to himself. He can just imagine the sound of Wei Wuxian's laughter if he ever realized how thoroughly he drew Lan Wenji into his orbit all those years ago. At least, the man himself looks happy. And then Wei Wuxian looks out over the sea of people, of young men and women already eager to dance with him. And for just a moment, his expression slants bitter. Lan Wenji wants to grab him and take him away and hide him until all he does is smile again. But Wei Wuxian tucks the grimace away as quickly as it appeared. And then he's patting Zhang Wenyin on the shoulder and jumping forward to throw himself into the crowd. A moment later, a space in the middle of the room clears, and Wei Wuxian steps forward hand in hand with a beautiful girl who looks shell-shocked with happiness. He bows to the king and queen, sitting enthroned on the dais, the king smiling indulgently and the queen scowling. It must be a signal, because then the music begins and the dancing starts. Lan Wenji keeps his spine straight and watches and doesn't let himself want anything else. This is enough, he tells himself. Through dance, after dance, after dance, hours of them, all the way up until he realizes his feet have carried him without permission to where Wei Wuxian is bowing and separated from his latest partner. Wei Wuxian turns away from her, and then they're looking at each other. Lan Wenji feels 16 years old again. It's horrible. He's happier than he's been in years. For a moment, they might almost be back in the cloud recesses, as if no time had passed at all. But then Wei Wuxian smiles diplomatically, and the illusion is shattered. Since the very first time they met, Lan Wenji has never seen such polite disinterest directed at him. There isn't a single spark of recognition in Wei Wuxian's distant eyes. Which is as it should be, of course. There's no reason it should make Lan Wenji feel like crying. But then Wei Wuxian's eyes light over the mask Lan Wenji is wearing, and his bored smile softens a little. He looks far away, but not unhappy. When their gazes meet again, the bland friendliness at least seems more genuine, even if there's still nothing like the note of challenge that always used to hum between them.
Rabbit Gongzu,
Wei Wuxian says, only faint shades of the old teasing lilt in his voice.
You know, I really like rabbits. To eat!
He laughs at his own words, and Lan Wenji's misery recedes at the sound. He's heard this joke before, and he likes it better because of that. It's the same after all. Wei Wuxian is the same.
I'm kidding. Did you want to dance, Rabbit Gongzu?
Lan Wenji should say no. He is going to say no.
All right.
Wei Wuxian holds out his hands. Lan Wenji takes them, and then he can feel Wei Ying's warm palms, his calluses, the tips of his fingers, the strength of his grip. It's dizzying, and he almost stumbles when he's pulled onto the dance floor. Lan Wenji has very little practical experience dancing, but he can copy movements well enough. And if it's a little clumsy, well, Wei Wuxian is unlikely to hold it against him. And if he does, it won't matter, because the next time they see each other, Wei Wuxian would probably be married and won't even remember this as anything other than a dull moment in a long night filled with much more exciting things. It doesn't matter. Lan Wenji will remember for both of them.
So, Rabbit Gongzu, Wei Wuxian says, are you from Lotus Pier?
No.
Really? Where are you from?
Lan Wenji hesitates. But there's no harm in being honest, as long as he's vague.
Gusu.
Oh, I was there for a little bit once. They have the best alcohol in the whole country, did you know? Of course that would be what he remembers. It's called Emperor Smile. Have you ever had it? An easy question, at least.
No.
Aha! You were missing out! How could you not drink some if you were from there? Lan Wenji can't think of a way to say that he isn't allowed, and wouldn't even if he were. So he says nothing at all. And after a moment, Wei Wuxian skips over the pause. How do you like Lotus Pier? Isn't it the most beautiful place you've ever seen? Because Wei Wuxian is here, yes. Wei Wuxian sighs. Just that? You know, Rabbit Gongzu, you're making this really hard on me. How are you supposed to make me remember you and pine for you all night if you won't even talk to me? Lan Wenji blinks at him.
You don't need to remember me.
Wei Ying gapes, and Lan Wenji feels a moment of petty joy that for once, he isn't the one being thrown off his rhythm.
I don't?
No.
Rabbit Gongzu, you really... Why not? You don't want to marry me? Lan Wenji can't bring himself to answer that.
You'll dance with many people,
he says at last.
Yes, that's why you're supposed to do something crazy and different to capture my attention for the rest of the night.
Lawanji imagines what someone who, as a teenager, regularly snuck alcohol into school might find crazy and different. He suddenly wants to find out, no matter how many rules he would inevitably break. But it doesn't matter. Because no matter how we wish he might feel about Rabbi Gongzu tonight, it will have nothing to do with how he feels about Lawanji tomorrow. We wish him pouts at him.
You don't want to marry me? You don't want me to remember you? Are you sure you even wanted to dance with me?
That's not it.
Huh?
Lawanji looks away. He can feel his ears burning. His pulse is going so fast, it's a wonder we wish him can't feel it through their still connected hands.
I want to dance with you,
he imagines saying.
I want you to remember me. I want to marry you. I want you, always, in every way. I haven't seen you in years, and I've wanted you the entire time.
Looking just past the edge of Wei Wuxian's face, he presses his lips together, holding it in. There's an ocean lurking under the surface of his regard, and he's afraid that if he opens his mouth at all, everything will come pouring out in a torrent. Wei Wuxian tugs at his hands, making Lawanji stumble and almost crash into him. It takes them a moment to right themselves and find the beat again, and Lawanji frowns once they do.
Be careful.
He gets a roll of those bright eyes.
Yes, yes. Rabbi Gongzu, what is it you do want?
Everyone tonight must want something from Wei Wuxian. His time, his charm, the full weight of his attention. Lawanji feels abruptly guilty to be one of them.
Be happy,
he says at last, because that's the one thing he wants most of all.
You want to be happy?
No.
Why is talking so hard?
You should be happy.
Oh! This time, Wei Wuxian is the one who misses a step, and they almost crash into a nearby couple.
Rabbit Gongzu! I didn't think so at first, but you're really quite the charmer, huh?
Lawanji can't think why saying something so basic might be charming, but then again, he wouldn't know. The song ends, and he steps back, half relieved to give his heart a rest, half already missing the press of Wei Wuxian's hands and his. He bows politely.
Wei Gongzu.
Wei Wuxian bows back, a bit late.
Rabbi Gongzu,
he says seriously, and then he laughs.
I really can't call you that with a straight face. Tell me your name?
No.
Lawanji says immediately.
What? But you know mine!
Of course.
So tell me yours! It's only fair, don't you think?
No.
Rabbi Gongzu!
Good night, Wei.
He bites his tongue.
Wei Gongzu.
Wait!
Wei Wuxian says, but Lawanji is already walking away. He's already done too much tonight. Said too much. Wei Wuxian doesn't like him. Wei Wuxian doesn't want to talk to him. Wei Wuxian wants to talk to the odd, awkward man in the rabbit mask, probably because he's a puzzle to be solved. If they speak for much longer, Wei Wuxian will realize that Lawanji is really just boring and stifling and too attentive to the rules. Just like when they were at the Cloud Recesses together. He goes back to standing against the wall, but it's worse now, because Wei Wuxian keeps looking over. He somehow acquired the attention of the guest of honor, and he's not sure whether he's elated or terrified, or both. At last, he can't bear it anymore. The depth of Wei Wuxian's eyes, the curve of his smile, the line of his neck when he turns his head. Seeing him all at once is too much. He has to be perceived in pieces, bit by bit. Fingers, then wrist, then bicep. It's harder when Wei Wuxian keeps looking at him, because Lawanji meets his eyes every time, helpless,
and then he can't stop himself from seeing everything. Eyes, lips, nose, jaw. Even half covered by a mask, it's overwhelming. The sweep of his long hair. Lanterns illuminating the hall and making him glow. Hwangji is a victim in the beacon of Wei Wuxian's blinding charisma. He leaves when he can't take it anymore, weaving through the crowds and slipping through a door that leads outside. He walks through gardens filled with chattering people, avoiding their noise, following narrower and narrower paths until he somehow finds a quiet spot. It's a tiny refuge from the chaos, with a beautifully peaceful lotus pond and a broad, flat rock overlooking it. He sinks down onto the hard stone gratefully, crossing his legs and looking up at the moon. He'll have to go home soon, but at least he'll have had this. Wei Wuxian dancing, telling him he's charming, smiling at him. And when Wei Wuxian marries, when he finds someone who will love him just as dearly as Lan Wenji does, they'll have to, how could they not? When the jealousy threatens to overwhelm, he'll still have had this. A night when he could imagine that he could walk back into that hall and say,
I love you. Marry me. Don't marry anyone else but me.
And be smiled at. He sits there quietly for half an hour, breathing in the cool night air, before he hears light footsteps behind him. He resigns himself to company after all, but then a familiar and well-loved voice says,
Found you!
Lan Wenji whirls around and sees Wei Wuxian smiling at him, hands on his hips.
Found me?
He repeats, feeling faint.
Yep. Rabbi Gongzu, be honest, were you running away from me?
Since he was, and lying is prohibited, Lan Wenji says nothing. Wei Wuxian doesn't seem to notice, though, plopping onto the rock as well and leaning back on his hands. This is one of my favorite places in the whole palace, but it's pretty hard to find. I'm impressed. Have you been here before?
No.
Then I'm really impressed. Aren't you happy you've impressed me?
Lan Wenji has no idea what he's supposed to say to that, and after a long silence, Wei Wuxian's smile tilts a little.
You know, I'm really starting to get the impression that you don't want to talk to me at all.
Lan Wenji misses the proper smile immediately. And since he's wearing a mask, maybe it doesn't matter if he...
I want to talk to you.
Wei Wuxian's spine straightens.
You do?
His face lights up.
Of course you do! Everyone wants to talk to me. I'm very popular. And charming, and handsome, and intelligent, don't you think?
Yes.
Wei Wuxian chokes, staring.
You really said that so seriously, Rabbi Gongzu? You meant it?
So
you think I'm charming? And handsome?
Wei, stop fishing for compliments.
Wei Wuxian's eyes widen, and Lan Wenji realizes what he stupidly said too late as he watches a sly smile creep over that beautiful face.
Rabbit Gongzu, how intimate of you!
Wei Wuxian says, arch, leaning towards him. Lan Wenji leans backward, but it doesn't help. They're still too close.
If you're going to call me by name, I don't think I can keep calling you Rabbit Gongzu. I think that means you have to tell me your name.
Lan Wenji stays stubbornly silent, and Wei Wuxian leans impossibly closer.
If not, I'll still have to call you something else.
He licks his lips, and his voice goes low and playful.
Like Rabbit Gaga?
Lan Wenji feels a shudder make its way down his spine even as he keeps the rest of his body motionless. His voice is gratifyingly even when he says,
Aten.
Wei Wuxian blinks, straightening a little, though he's still far too much in Lan Wenji's personal space.
Aten?
No one has called him that since his mother died, but he nods anyway.
Yes.
At 10, Wuxian repeats, and then he beams. Hello, Aten. It's nice to meet you. Lao Wenji glances up at the sky.
I have to go now.
Wei Wuxian startles and almost loses his balance. Lao Wenji catches him automatically, feels the warmth of him with one hand, and has to pull away immediately. He can still feel it like a phantom pressure. Wei Wuxian stares at him, his eyes big in the round openings of the mask.
You have to go? It's still early! Did you have fun? Did you even do anything other than dance with me once and then sit out here?
No,
Lao Wenji says honestly.
Atan! That's so boring! Why'd you call me if you weren't going to leave so early and not have any time for anything interesting?
Lao Wenji hesitates, but there's something freeing about the fact that Wei Wuxian has no idea who he is. We'll never know who he is.
I came to see you.
Wei Wuxian's mouth opens and closes several times.
You... Again! You did it again! You can just say things like that!
I'm sorry.
He stands and bows.
I'll be going.
What? No, I meant...
Wei Wuxian leaps to his feet, grabbing Lan Wenji's wrist.
Don't go so early. Stay and talk to me.
Lan Wenji wavers, but...
I can't.
Wei Wuxian makes an annoyed sound, his hold on Lan Wenji's wrist flexing.
Well, if you came to see me, then you're going to come and see me again tomorrow, right? You didn't get your fill one day, did you?
Lao Wenji is going to say he's not coming. He's going to.
I'm coming tomorrow,
he says. And when Wei Wuxian smiles, he forgets to feel guilty about breaking the rules for a second night. He would do far worse to see Wei Wuxian smile like that.
Of course you are, Wei Wuxian says happily. I know you couldn't stay away.
Fine then, go. I'll see you tomorrow. Lao Wenji doesn't move, and Wei Wuxian tilts his head to the side.
Well, I thought you were going.
You have to let go first.
Wei Wuxian looks down and then drops Lao Wenji's wrist like it's on fire, leaping back a few steps and almost falling into the lotus pond. The visible half of his face is pink. He's blushing, Lao Wenji realizes. Why is he blushing? Wei Wuxian bows a little jerkily and says,
Good night, Aten.
Good night,
Lao Wenji says.
Wei.
He barely remembers the trip back to the bolt hole, caught up in the vividness of all his new memories of Wei Wuxian. He's been hoarding the old ones greedily for years, treating them gently for fear of fading them. But these are fresh and bright and shining. When he steps back into his brother's bedroom, just before 9 o'clock curfew, Lan Xichen takes one look at him and smiles.
Brother,
Lao Wenji says. He swallows.
May I use your passage again tomorrow night?
The smile widens.
Of course.
Tomorrow night and the next, Wenji.
Lao Wenji wakes up at 5 o'clock and remembers that Wei Wuxian wants to see him. He eats breakfast and remembers that Wei Wuxian wants to see him. He tells some students who were late for class to copy the rules 5 times instead of 10 because Wei Wuxian wants to see him. Lan Xichen keeps looking at him and smiling, and Lao Wenji knows it's because he's acting a little giddy, not that anyone else seems to notice. But he doesn't care, because Wei Wuxian wants to see him, wants to talk to him, wanted him to stay longer, wanted him to come back. It takes effort to eat dinner at the same pace he normally does, but the meal ends at last,
and he is able to quietly follow his brother back to his rooms and change and sleep back out through the bolt hole to Lotus Pier. The main road is as busy as it was the night before. He walks quietly, listening to people talk. It's mostly pleasant, but nearly there, he hears a repetition of the vile rumor the messenger had spread the week before. That Wei Wuxian has to get married because of a scandal, because he'd gotten a woman pregnant.
Not true,
he hears himself say loudly. The anger is at a fever pitch in his blood, and with a group of young men speaking turn to him with surprise, he fixes them with the darkest look he can muster. A few of them blanch.
Do not repeat slander.
The best dressed puffs up defensively, but one of his brothers nudges him and whispers something, and Luanji sees the man hesitate as he looks over the fine white silk of the outfit Lan Xichen chose. Apparently, the obvious wealth of it makes a difference, because the man smiles ingratiatingly then and says,
Ah, sir, I mean no offense, but what would you know about this? I hear it straight from the mouth of someone who works in the palace. Besides, everyone's heard stories of that Wei Wuxian. Such a scamp. Who could be surprised that he would bring trouble to the royal family like this?
Everyone's heard stories. Yes, they all tell stories. Many stories. All entertaining and almost non-true. Luanji hates this man suddenly for saying such things and telling such stories and believing them. For thinking and letting others think that Wei Wuxian is this kind of a man. He wants to drag this slanderer back to the cloud recesses and sit him in the library and make him copy 1,000 lines about Wei Wuxian's loyalty and dedication to his adopted family.
You know nothing,
he says flatly. He imagines Wei Wuxian hearing these things, and he has to clench his fists against an abrupt and utterly inappropriate vile impulse.
Nothing. That is not true. It would never be true.
The man's condescending smile sours. Listen, you. His more sensible companion laughs awkwardly, tugging at his arm. Let's not fight. It's a celebration day, after all. Neither of us can know for certain, isn't that right? To his friend, he murmurs in a placating way.
Come on, let's go. You can tell me about it over there.
Luanji hates him too. He hates the whole lot of them. He does know. He may not know why Wei Wuxian is to be married, but he knows enough to be sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that it is not because there is a woman somewhere carrying Wei Wuxian's child. If there were, then she would be his future bride. There is no other possibility. People see Wei Wuxian's lightness, his jokes and mischief, his reckless and sometimes thoughtless nature, and they do not realize that his sense of honor goes far deeper than most. If he had that kind of obligation to someone, then there is nothing in the world that would stop him from fulfilling it. Everyone who says otherwise is a liar who should be corrected. But with his mask on, Luanji is just another passerby who thinks he knows something about the royal family. He stares into the distance. Even hearing another group talk about how handsome and charming the royal family's ward is doesn't help. It only serves to make him bitter with unfair jealousy, vicious and unpleasant. It doesn't matter that he knows he has no claim on Wei Wuxian. Even imagining him falling in love with one of them makes Luanji's heart ache. Wei Wuxian is on the dais again when the doors open, looking just as beautiful, just as wonderful as the day before. Luanji hesitates, but instead of retreating to the wall this time, he walks through the crowds. Wei Wuxian told him to come back. Surely he would want to know that Luanji did? He comes closer and closer, until Wei Wuxian looks up from a quiet, serious-looking conversation with Zhang Lianli and spots him. Their eyes meet. Wei Wuxian blinks, and then he smiles widely and mouths, A Chen! It settles for rioting feelings in Lan Wangji's stomach, and he nods, the anger receding.
Yes,
he wants to say.
I'm here.
Instead, he only maintains eye contact for a moment longer. And then he nods to the door he'd left through the night before and sleeps back outside. He goes back to the quiet rock and lotus pond and sits down again, pulling out a book he'd brought tucked in one of his sleeves. The flowers are beautiful, and in this area of the gardens, the night is quiet. It's easy to settle down and read. We wish he would come out if he wants to, and if he doesn't, well, he can. And that's what matters. If we wish he wants to see him, he can. It's an hour before he hears a voice call out, "Atat!" Nawandi sets the book down.
I'm here.
Wuwuxian throws himself down onto the rock, heedless of the rough texture on his fine clothes, the same flame one he'd been wearing the night before, and doesn't sit down as well.
That's better. You can see my face now, so aren't you grateful?
Nawandi starts to reply. And then Wuwuxian jerks upright and silences him by covering his mouth with a hand.
You are going to agree! You are really going to agree with that serious look on your face, weren't you? You can't! Don't you know that you shouldn't say such nice things so genuinely?
Wuwuxian is in luck then, because Lan Wenji can think of anything to say at all. His entire sphere of awareness has narrowed down to the feeling of Wuwuxian's hand on his face, pressed against his lips. It's almost like kissing his palm, he thinks, dizzy. He has to try and move that arm away, because if he spends one more moment smelling Wei Wuxian's skin, he might do something crazy. Like, really ask Wei Wuxian to marry him. Like, beg Wei Wuxian to marry him.
Ah, sorry,
Wei Wuxian says, pulling away the instant Lan Wenji reaches for him. He laughs awkwardly. I shouldn't have done that. Maybe you weren't going to agree after all.
I was going to agree.
Lan Wenji tells him immediately, still half drunk on the sensation of that touch.
Hatan! What did I just say about that?
Lan Wenji isn't feeling particularly sorry, so he doesn't reply. Wei Wuxian doesn't seem to mind.
Hatan, did you really bring a book to a party?
You came straight out here without spending any time with everyone else, too.
Were you that bored last night?
Lan Wenji looks down at the book in his lap.
For when you're busy,
he explains. It's Wei Wuxian's party, after all. He has duties. He can't spend all his time sitting outside with a stranger, even if for some reason he wants to, which he probably doesn't. Wei Wuxian is silent for an oddly long time. Normally he chatters, but now he just sits, staring at the book until Lan Wenji starts to worry he said something to offend. Finally, quietly, he hears. You really came just to see me, huh? Wei Wuxian laughs, but it sounds forced. Is he annoyed? Has Lan Wenji done something to upset him? But he doesn't have time to try and figure out what it was, because Wei Wuxian reaches over and scoops up the book, almost giving Lan Wenji a heart attack from the proximity. Where were you reading? Wei Wuxian opens it and scans through the first few pages, his eyebrows furrowing. He slows midway through a page, and Lan Wenji sees when he stops to actually read. Then he looks up and says,
Atan, you must be really smart. I don't understand this at all.
Lan Wenji frowns at him.
Do not lie.
What? Who's lying?
You.
The laughter is more genuine this time.
Chan! You can't just decide when someone else is lying. I know people say I'm a prodigy, but it's not because of my brains. I even got kicked out of the cloud recesses and I'm always doing crazy things, so everyone says...
Nonsense.
Lan Wenji says, cutting him off.
Nonsense.
He repeats. Wei Wuxian just stares at him with wide eyes.
You left the cloud recesses because of a fight with another student. Not for any other reason.
How did you... Oh, you said you were from Gusu. I guess you must have heard. He kicks at the pond water with one foot, sending ripples across a peaceful surface. Well, that's true, but it's not what people usually say.
people,
Lawanji says firmly,
are stupid. You are not.
No matter how much Lan Jiren hated having Wei Wuxian in classes, no matter how many answers Wei Wuxian gave that got him in trouble, they were never exactly wrong. They were only unexpected, clever, and special. Just like Wei Wuxian himself. They were only incorrect because no one had ever thought of them before. Lan Wenji remembers how infuriated about it he'd been at the time. But now when he thinks of it, he feels impossibly fond. He meets Wei Wuxian's eyes again, feeling his ears burn.
Wei Ying is brilliant.
Wei Wuxian goes red. I think you really are. He looks away, speaking quickly.
Looks like an interesting book, so Acheng has good taste.
A sidelong glance. I did understand it.
I know.
Wei Wuxian smiles, and Lan Wenji adds.
You can borrow it.
No, how could I? What else is going to keep you company when I have to go back to the party and meet more people?
He laughs.
So many people, Acheng. And I have to dance and talk to them all so that I can pick one to marry. It's really hard when there are so many, but if I don't let them all say hello, I'll never know if my future spouse really was the best one.
Lan Wenji's heart hurts.
Why?
He says, the word slipping out plaintively before he can stop it.
What do you mean, why? Don't you think I deserve the best?
Wei Ying.
All right, all right. Wei Wuxian draws his legs up to his chest, wrapping his arms around them and resting his chin on his knees so that he's curled into a tiny ball. Lan Wenji desperately wants to hold him close and swear to protect him forever.
You must have heard the rumors.
Not true.
Wei Wuxian smiles.
You don't know what is true.
I know what isn't.
His smile widens. And Wei Wuxian ducks his head to hide it against his knees. Lan Wenji misses the sight of it.
Well, it's not all true. There was a scandal, but I didn't get anyone pregnant, and I didn't seduce a married woman, and I didn't try to join a brothel and become a prostitute or anything else I've heard people saying. Actually, it was just... Well, you know how I had to leave the cloud recesses because I got into a fistfight with another student?
Yes, Jin Sushen.
Right, Wei Wuxian says, sounding surprised. And it occurs to Lan Wenji that he should probably try to sound less like someone who was physically present for the whole affair.
He's my liege's... I mean, the Princess Jiang Yinli's fiancé.
He's the worst, he scowls.
Such a peacock. He never appreciated Li Jiejie properly.
Always acting like she wasn't good enough. He's the one who's not good enough for her.
Someone as arrogant as that doesn't deserve her, don't you think?
Well, we never got along. Especially after I got kicked out of school for punching him in his stupid smug face. And I didn't think he'd treat Li Jiejie, the princess, I mean, very well. So I always opposed the marriage and got into fights with him. Only then his head got fixed or something because he realized she's perfect and decided he was in love with her. But, I mean, he'd been such a condescending asshole about it for so long, so who was going to believe he had a change of heart? And I told him so, and we got into some more fights and then even more, because we really don't like each other at all. But Li Jiejie loves him, and everything was going to be fine. I was going to be happy about them getting married and everything, because Li Jiejie was. Even if I don't understand what she likes about that peacock. Except then...
Have you ever met Jin Sushun's cousin, Jin Sushun?
Yes.
Do you like him?
No.
Good. Anyway, he said... Wei Wuxian picks at the hemline of his clothes. He said maybe the reason I was so upset about them getting married is because I was jealous. That me and Li Jiejie, you know.
Li Jiejie tried to tell them we're siblings, that I'm her baby brother. But he kept saying we weren't blood siblings and that it wasn't her fault if I was behaving lecherously with her
basically.
He laughs weakly.
I thought Jing Cheng was going to kill him. But the queen got so angry, and I think Jin Zixian's mother might have believed it a little. And other people heard him say it and were starting to talk. Though the stories got a bit garbled, you know. So the queen said it might be easier if I were... taken, I guess.
Less gossip. Just in case.
Liao Wenji lets out a breath.
Ridiculous,
he hisses.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have fought with Jin Zixian so much, but...
No, not you. Them. They should not have...
He bites his tongue.
He has no right to be angry on Wei Wuxian's behalf. Even if he's currently taking the time to fantasize as vividly as possible about silencing Jin Zixian in increasingly violent ways.
He won't, but oh, how he wants to.
It's not so bad, Wei Wuxian says. They're taking the time to give me this big party, after all, so I can find someone. I thought I was going to have to marry a stranger, or maybe Wen Niu. He pulls an exaggeratedly horrified face.
I love Wen Niu, but I really, really didn't want to marry him. And I think Wen Qing would have killed me if I tried.
Liao Wenji is never going to be able to like Wen Qianlin again. Not with the image of Wei Wuxian marrying him in his head.
They are not being kind,
he snaps,
by letting you choose who they will force you to marry.
Ha-chan?
Liao Wenji clamps his lips together. The idea of this being why? Jin Zixun's poison and people listening to vile gossip instead of what they knew to be true. It's even more infuriating than he'd imagined. Anyone who has seen Wei Ying and Jiang Yanli together can tell at a glance that they treat each other as siblings. That they clearly adore each other, but in the softest, gentlest way imaginable. Even Lan Wenji, whose petty, envious heart has no sense when it comes to Wei Wuxian, has never once thought to look on their relationship with anything other than happiness that Wei Wuxian has someone who values him so highly.
Wei Wuxian scoots a little closer to him on the rock.
Ha-chan, don't look like that. I don't know what you're thinking, but it's fine, really.
I agreed.
If it's what's best for Li Jiejie and her marriage, then I don't mind. I'll marry someone nice and we'll be good friends. I don't need anything else.
You should marry someone you love.
Ha-chan.
Liao Wenji glares down at the lotus plants and doesn't speak. He wants to march right up to the king and queen and tell them how absurd this whole farce is. How unfair it is to Wei Wuxian to make him go through all this and make him think he deserves it. For causing a scandal. For caring about his sister.
Are you really angry?
Of course he is. But he doesn't know how to say yes. He doesn't know how to say you deserve better. To say stop putting the happiness of others before your own. To say... Please let me take you home and take proper care of you.
At last, he just nods jerkily. There is a bit of stillness between them. And then Wei Wuxian shifts closer until their sides are touching, lowering his head so that he can rest it on Lan Wenji's shoulder. He sighs.
Ha-chan, you're really too good. You shouldn't be so kind to me. Because I'll...
When it becomes clear that he isn't going to finish, Liao Wenji wraps a tentative arm around his waist. When Wei Wuxian just hums in a pleased-sounding way instead of objecting, Liao Wenji lets himself pull him closer. So Wei Wuxian is pressed tight against him, a warm and solid weight in his arms. He hopes it's clear that what he means is, I am kind to you. Because you deserve it. Because he can't seem to find a way to say it out loud. They sit there together until parts of Lan Wenji's body start to go numb.
He doesn't care. They could fall off entirely if it meant he could keep holding Wei Wuxian like this.
The moon could drop out of the sky and land next door, and he wouldn't move if Wei Wuxian didn't want to. Naturally, Wei Wuxian has other plans. He shifts last, not really moving away, but stretching his legs out and not curling quite so close anymore either. Atten. What time are you leaving tonight?
8:30.
Wei Wuxian leans his head back so he can pout up at him from his position on Lan Wenji's shoulder. It's adorable, and Lan Wenji wants desperately to kiss the look off his face.
That's so early!
It's barely enough time at all to get back to the bolt hole and into the cloud recesses before curfew. But that's not something he can say. So he just hums in honest agreement. His entire life, 8:30 has never felt so early.
Fine.
Let's at least go do something fun before you have to go. You can't just sit here all night.
This is fun.
Wei Wuxian makes a face. Achan, you must live a really sad life. Lan Wenji just looks at him disapprovingly, and he laughs. It's true, though! I'll tell you what, let's now go back to the main hall. If we do, I'll just have to meet more people and talk to them and flirt with them, and I won't have any time with you. There's a festival going on in the city, though. A proper one, with lanterns and food and games. Let's go to that! Lan Wenji hesitates. But if Wei Wuxian really wants to...
All right.
Good!
Wei Wuxian springs to his feet. And then he stops, his face falling.
Oh, but... Do you think they'll recognize the mask?
I was wearing it last night, too.
And if I don't wear the mask, people will definitely recognize me.
If everyone knows who I am, we'll get as much trouble as if we went back into the palace.
I don't want that.
He looks so disappointed. Lan Wenji considers his dejected expression, and then reaches out and pulls a huge lotus leaf off a stalk growing in the pond, punching four clumsy holes in it. Two large ones in the middle, and then narrow slits in the sides. Glancing around, he picks up Wei Wuxian's discarded mask as well, picking at the knots fastening the ribbons that tie it to one's head. When he has them undone, he lays the lotus leaf over the old mask as neatly as possible. The holes he made don't quite match up, and he curses himself mentally for not realizing it would be more sensible to make them afterwards. Not that anything about this is sensible. Still, he adjusts them carefully before he slips the ribbons back through the narrow openings in the sides of both the mask and the leaf at once, tying the knots firmly so that the two are firmly fixed together. Like this, the distinctive fire pattern of the mask is almost entirely obscured by the massive leaf on top of it. It's... well, it's less recognizable, at least. He looks up at last. Wei Wuxian is staring at him. Lan Wenji feels his ears burn when he holds it all out. Wei Wuxian looks at it. He bites his lip. But it doesn't stop the laughter that spills out. Lan Wenji looks down, his hands flexing on the stupid thing. He wants to tear the leaf back off.
No!
Wei Wuxian says, grabbing it. It's mine, isn't it? You made it for me. I want it.
Wei Ying.
He's ignored. The mask has to be tied on gently to avoid further tearing the leaf when he tightens the ribbons. But somehow, it doesn't fall apart. It doesn't hide the bright smile either.
There!
Wei Wuxian holds its arms out, as if showing off his whole outfit.
How do I look?
Ridiculous.
Achan, you meant to say I look handsome.
Ridiculous.
Achan, what happened to being nice to me?
They look at each other, and then Wei Wuxian bursts out laughing, holding his sides and bending double. When he finally straightens up, he has to wipe tears away from his eyes. Carefully, because he's wearing a lotus leaf on his face.
All right. I look ridiculous. That's good. No one will guess I'm the incredibly suave and famously good-looking royal ward.
Come on, Achan. He holds out a hand, and Lan Wenji takes it, letting himself be pulled to his feet.
Let's go.
I'm going to show you a lotus pier. You're going to love it, I promise. He already does. Weiwuxian drags him from stall to stall like a hyperactive child, stopping every time he finds something he likes to show it to Lanwenji and smile that unmistakable grin. Even half hidden behind a mask that's making every other passerby do a double take, it's recognizable and stunningly beautiful. Look, he keeps saying. Look! When they first met, Lanwenji had found the exuberance annoying. But he'd realized quickly that it's simply that Weiwuxian is the kind of person who shares everything. His likes, his good fortune, his happiness, his brightness of spirit.
Wait,
Lanwenji says suddenly, stopping dead in the middle of the road. Weiwuxian grabbed onto his wrist several streets ago and hasn't let go yet. So he stumbles and jerks to a stop as well. When he looks back, Lanwenji raises his free arm and points out a merchant selling masks. Cheap things, not good enough at all, but much better than a leaf. So? Weiwuxian says, frowning. I don't want one of those. I want this one. Lanwenji sighs.
There is no need. I will buy you one.
When he tries to walk towards it, though, he is yanked back roughly.
I said I like this one, Weiwuxian insists. Achen made me this one, so this one is my favorite. None of those are good enough for me.
Lanwenji tries to walk towards the stall again, treating this as errant nonsense. But Weiwuxian latches onto his shoulder and digs his heels in.
Achen, Achen, you can buy me something else.
He hooks his chin over Lanwenji's shoulder and says,
Achan, I'm hungry. You should feed me.
This is clearly a ploy, but just in case it's true, and because Weiwuxian has asked, Lanwenji instantly stops and looks for food. He says.
What do you want to eat?
Weiwuxian pulls back. Wait, really? The smile becomes so wide, it looks as though it might hurt his face. Come with me, Achan. I'll show you where all the best food is. Much better than anything they have in Gusu, except for the alcohol. Everything there is so bland. We know how to make things interesting here. Lanwenji has no doubt of that, and he lets himself be pulled away from the masks and towards the section of the market, where smells and hot steam fill the air. Weiwuxian ignores most of them, finally stopping in front of a tiny pot sticker stall manned by a woman who looks old enough to be his grandmother. She's the only one who makes them properly, Weiwuxian confides to him, leaning close to be heard over the crowds. No one else's are nearly as good. Lanwenji steps forward and takes out his money pouch, nodding to her as she begins to fill a basket. He gestures at her to continue until it's heaping and then starts counting out the money. Achen? Achen, you don't actually have to pay. I'm the one who brought you here. I can't...
No need.
Lanwenji says firmly, handing over the payment.
But let your young man spoil you,
the old woman says to him cheerfully. It's good to find one who wants to. You should take advantage. Lanwenji feels his ears go hot and his heart skip a beat. He must be even more obvious than he thought if grandmothers he's never met before can tell. He half turns to apologize for his presumption, but he'd forgotten in his own embarrassment that Weiwuxian is shameless. He looks surprised for the barest instant, and then the look on his face goes mischievous. The kind of look that always heralded trouble for Lanwenji in the cloud recesses.
Achang Gogo is so good to me, he cries out, loudly enough for the sound to rise into the air and net them several stairs.
He grabs Lanwenji's upper arm and collapses backwards over his chest, looking up at him with an expression of affected adoration on his chest.
Go-go, go-go, what else will you buy for me?
He pouts.
Your young man is thirsty too, you know.
When Lanwenji dies, he hopes no one ever finds out that the cause was heart failure From hearing, we wishing call him Guga in that tone of voice.
Wei.
But Wei Wuxian searches upwards and stops his mouth with a single finger, keeping anyone from seeing what he's doing by bringing their heads unbearably close together.
Don't call me by name, he whispers. Someone might realize who I am.
His smile is wicked when he adds,
whatever will you call me instead, Gugu?
Wei Wuxian is so close. He's so close. And he's saying these things. And they're practically standing on each other. And Wei Wuxian keeps calling him that. Lan Wenji. Oh, Lan Wenji wants. He wants this to be real. He wants Wei Wuxian to say these things to him always. And he wants, for once, to play along and see if it'll make Wei Wuxian laugh again. He slides his arms around Wei Wuxian's waist, holding him tight, and watches those dark eyes widen. He doesn't let himself look at anyone but Wei Wuxian, ignoring his own burning ears and racing heartbeat, when he says,
Gugu will buy you anything you want.
He swallows, and then he lets himself murmur quietly,
baby.
Wei Wuxian's mouth drops open. He makes a faint, rasping shriek that seems to originate somewhere in the back of the throat, in the parts of his face that can be seen go so violently red that Lan Wenji worries for a moment whether he might be sick. He chokes several times, and then he falls forward and buries his face in Lan Wenji's neck.
Atan!
He mutters at last a full minute later. You've killed me.
You did it first.
I started? Achan, that's so childish of you. But when he finally pulls back, though not out of the embrace, he's smiling. So Lan Wenji doesn't bother to clarify that he meant you killed me first. Years ago, in fact, the very first time Wei Wuxian had looked at him and said in that teasing voice, Lan or Gugu. If his entire life changed, isn't that a little like dying?
If you're thirsty, I will buy you something.
Wei Wuxian laughs. Chen, I was just teasing.
I will buy you something.
Another laugh, but weaker. Well, all right. I could use a drink. Lan Wenji nods, collects her pot stickers from the indulgently smiling seller, and lets Wei Wuxian guide him again. As before, Wei Wuxian seems to know exactly where to go, weaving between people and ignoring the hawkers. He stops them again at another stall, lets Lan Wenji buy a few pots of liquor, and then guides them to a quieter, more peaceful area to eat. Here, Wei Ying says, opening a bottle and trying to hand it over. You too. It's good here. They make it with lotus. But then, before Lan Wenji has to take it or refuse, he pulls back. Oh, but wait! You're from Gusu. You've never even had the Emperor's Smile. Achen, do you not drink? Lan Wenji hesitates. If it would make Wei Wuxian happy. But then, he knows from his single disastrous experience with liquor that if he drinks anything at all, not only will he not be able to control his actions, but he won't remember anything afterward. He doesn't trust himself to get home that way, and he wants to remember tonight. He wants to remember tonight forever.
I don't drink.
You should have said. I wasn't thinking. Ha-chan, I'm sorry. Wei Wuxian looks genuinely dismayed, and Lan Wenji half reaches out to him before he realizes what he's doing and tucks his hands back into his lap.
You drink it for me,
he says, which, gloriously, gets him another laugh. All right. Have some food at least. Here! Wei Wuxian deftly picks up a pot sticker with the cheap bamboo chopsticks the woman had given them to go with the food and holds it out. When Lan Wenji hesitates, it's bumped against his lips. Open up, Achen Gugu. Kawenji inhales sharply. It was one thing when it was just... Nobody's here now to make a show for. Slowly, he leans forward and takes a careful bite, watching as we wish him beams. It's very beautiful and very distracting, which is a good thing, because it means it takes an extra second or two for him to realize that his mouth is on fire. Good, right? Wei-Wuxian says happily, popping the other half into his own mouth.
I will never make them too bland.
If too bland means not as spicy as this, then it encompasses the whole genre of edible food. Keeping his face impassive is taking every fiber of Lan Wenji's self-control. He swallows with some difficulty and says, You really like them? You must have a really good spice tolerance at 10. I'm impressed. Good, Wei Wuxian says, grinning and holding a second one out. I'm so glad. And Lan Wenji discovers he does like them after all.
Wei Wuxian fits them the rest of the pot stickers like that, holding each one out for Lan Wenji to take a bite out of before eating the rest of it himself.
It's absolutely unnecessary and completely shameless, but it's also probably the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to anyone, anywhere, ever.
After that, they wander around the festival aimlessly, moving from one thing to another. Wei Wuxian keeps trying to show him everything, but the only thing Lan Wenji really cares to look at is his delighted, animated face. It feels like every heartbeat it becomes harder to stop himself from saying,
I love you, I love you, I love you.
Wei Wuxian keeps stumbling into him so that their hands brush together. It's probably because of all the liquor, though he isn't behaving at all drunkenly otherwise. Every light touch, skin on skin, sends sparks racing through him. He can't think through the sensation of it. His world has narrowed down to where his hand is, where Wei Wuxian's is, to the moment right before their fingers almost tangle together when he knows it's coming. 8:30 comes too soon. They walk together to the city outskirts, and then they stand there at the edge of the road, lingering. Lan Wenji finally clears his throat and says,
I'll come back tomorrow, if that's what you want.
He adds quickly, suddenly worried that Wei Wuxian has tired of him after all.
Of course it's what I want, Wei Wuxian says immediately.
Atan, I'll be so sad if you don't come tomorrow. So you have to, okay?
Lan Wenji melts entirely.
Okay, don't be sad.
Wei Wuxian pouts at him. Exaggerated and affected.
I'm sad because you're leaving.
Weeing.
All right, you have to.
He steps closer, right into Lan Wenji's space. Will you miss me?
Yes.
Even though we'll see each other tomorrow? After all the years they spent apart, missing Wei Wuxian should have become second nature. It should be stranger to be with him than without him. He should be used to it. He isn't.
Yes,
he says.
I'll miss you.
He itches to take Wei Wuxian into his arms, to kiss his hair and smell the scent of his skin, to bring Wei Wuxian with him to the cloud recesses, to never leave Lotus Pier, to never have to miss him. He clears his throat.
Good night, Wei Ying.
Good night, Atan.
Wangji,
Lan Xichen says, when Lan Wenji slips into his room 5 minutes before 9 o'clock.
You look happy.
Lan Wenji meets his smiling brother's gaze. Anyone else wouldn't think to look past the pleasant expression, but Lan Wenji can see the tiny signs of tension at the corners of his eyes.
I will be all right, he says. This is enough.
Lan Xichen's smile slips a fraction.
Wangji.
This is enough.
He repeats. The next day, Luanji wants to skip dinner entirely, to go to Yunmeng and camp outside the doors to the palace until they open and let him in to see Wei Wuxian. He doesn't, because that would worry his brother and draw his uncle's attention and probably get him arrested. But every moment he sits in the cloud recesses, he fails to find any peace. His thoughts churn, disorderly and uncontrollable, making shambles of his focus as he sits in the library and stares at the same piece of paperwork for what might be hours. It's the last night. After this, he won't go back. After this, Wei Wuxian will choose someone to marry. Perhaps Luanji will be invited to the wedding, as an emissary of the Cloud Recesses and the Lam family. He presses his brush down on the paper so hard that it creates a rapidly spreading black blot, his hands trembling. It soaks through to the wooden desk below, and he has to get up and clean the mess. In some ways, it's a relief. At least then he has something to do other than let his unruly imagination run wild. After dinner, he nods to his brother and leaves through the bolt hole for a final time. He walks down the road to Lotus Pier. He enters the banquet hall. He makes his way to the dais. He catches Wei Wuxian's eye. Wei Wuxian smiles at him, and Luanji wants to cry. He doesn't have to wait nearly as long in the little garden this time. Barely 10 minutes after he sat down, two hands reach around his face to cover his eyes, and a teasing voice says, "Guess who?" Luanji feels his lips curve up despite his sadness.
Wei Ying.
That's not what you called me yesterday.
His breath catches.
He shouldn't. He really shouldn't, but...
Baby.
He whispers.
There is a coughing noise from behind him, and then the hands fall away from his face, and a forehead thunks down against his back. Wei Wuxian's arms hang over Luanji's shoulders in a loose cage that he has no desire to escape from.
I thought I could take it this time,
Wei Wuxian says, muffled.
But I was wrong.
His voice, rueful and self-deprecating, is so cute that Luanji feels a chuckle escape from him before he can stop it. Immediately, there's a gasp. And then his lap is full of Wei Wuxian, who swung around in front of him and falling backwards to stare up at his face.
Achan,
he says.
Did you laugh? Was that a laugh?
He pokes at Luanji's cheek with one finger, grinning impossibly wide.
It was! You're smiling!
Luanji ducks his head.
No, don't!
Wei Wuxian says immediately.
When you smile, you're so...
He pokes the corner of Luanji's mouth this time.
You should do it more.
But only with me. If you did it in front of too many people, it would be a public hazard. You'd be mobbed by attractive girls and boys trying to get a glimpse. They might try to carry you off to hoard your smiles all for themselves. So it's better if you only smile at me. I'll keep you safe, Achan.
Ridiculous.
Luanji tells him firmly. But he's so happy that he knows it's showing on his face. Wei Wuxian's eyes go soft. He's already taken the fire mask off, apparently, and Luanji can see his whole lovely face. The slant of his nose, the line of his cheekbones, the curve of his lips. He's lying in Luanji's lap like he belongs there, casually entitled to the space.
Achan, he says, quietly, seriously. You're really so beautiful.
People have been telling Luanji versions of just that for most of his life. Nevertheless.
Ridiculous. You can't see my face.
You could show me,
Wei Wuxian says, wheedling. Your rabbit face is cute, but I'm sure your real face would be much cuter. Luanji feels his heart stop. If he takes off his mask, he'll become himself again. And this will all be over. He almost let himself forget in the joy of being able to spend this time together. Wei Wuxian doesn't want to spend time with him.
He wants to spend time with Atan. If he found out, Weiwuxian would probably laugh at how ridiculously far Lan Wenjing is willing to go for this, and then be annoyed to know that the person he's wasted his nights with is someone he doesn't even like. Someone boring and overbearing who got him in trouble at school. His face must do something, because Wei Wuxian sits up straight, pressing one hand against Lan Wenji's heart. Maybe he can feel it beating. Too fast, like a rabbit running. Maybe he knows it's all for him. That everything is always for him. Atan, I was just teasing, he says. You don't have to. It doesn't matter anyway. You were wrong. I don't need to see your face. You're still so beautiful. I can tell. He's so good. He's so impossibly, impossibly kind that Lan Wenji can't bear it.
Atan?
It's too much. To be able to look him in the eye and see him be so happy and behave so softly. Lan Wenji takes a deep breath and then lets his head drop onto Wei Wuxian's shoulder, pressing his eyes against the curve where it slopes up into his graceful neck. After a moment, Wei Wuxian's hands come up and begin stroking lightly through his hair, awkwardly finding their way around the edges of the mask. Lan Wenji hears him say, quietly, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
He says, without lifting his head. He feels hot and overwhelmed and so in love, it's unbearable. The current of it sweeping him too far out to sea.
Why?
I don't know, Wei Wuxian says. But you're hiding a little, so I think I should be sorry for something. Being pushy? Zhang Tang is always telling me how pushy I am. And annoying. And awful. Well, Zhang Tang says a lot of things about me, honestly. Was I awful?
No.
Are you sure?
Not annoying. Not pushy. Never awful.
Lan Wenji raises his head so he can look Wei Wuxian in the eye and show how serious he is.
There is no need to apologize.
Wei Wuxian puts his hands on either side of Lan Wenji's face. I wanted to say...
Hey! Wei Wuxian! Both of them jump.
Wei Wuxian half stands before he lets out a sigh of relief and collapses onto the rock again.
Zhang Zhang! Knock next time!
On what? The door? Did you not notice you're outside?
Prince Zhang Wanying lets out a snort of derision.
Besides, it's not like I didn't make any noise coming up the path. You two were just too wrapped in each other to notice. I thought I was going to have to come over there and drag you off of him.
Wei Wuxian scoffs, leaning back on his hands. It takes him out of the bubble of Lan Wenji's personal space.
Like you could.
Fuck you, Wei Wuxian. I could pick you up and carry you out of here, and I'll do it if I have to.
Zhang Zhang!
Quit it. I'm not a dear. Pouting doesn't work on me. Come on, time to come back. We can't cover for you much longer.
Lan Wenji frowns.
Cover for him?
Zhang Wenyi shoots him an unimpressed look.
So you're this one's Atan? You don't look like much to me. From what Wei Wuxian was saying, I thought you were going to be 10 feet tall and have achieved immortality.
Zhang Zhang!
Zhang Wenyi ignores him.
Didn't he tell you? You got him in trouble last night.
What?
Wei Wuxian leaps to his feet.
Zhang Zhang, shut up!
Atan, it's not like that.
He disappeared for hours,
his brother continues mercilessly.
From his own party. No one could find him, and no one knew where he'd gone. I thought my mother was going to kill him stone dead when he showed up halfway through and wouldn't say where he'd been or why. If he does it again tonight, she really might.
So?
Wei Wuxian snaps.
It's my fault for going out, not Atan's. He didn't know I'd get in trouble for it.
The prince doesn't even look at him, crossing his arms over his chest and fixing Lan Wenji with a glare.
And now he knows.
Lan Wenji isn't so foolish as to not know what that means. He nods.
Wei, you should go back. Please the queen.
Wei Wuxian's shoulders slump. A-chan.
See? Even your A-chan agrees with me, Jiang Wenyin says, the tone of his voice making the name sound mocking. Go back to the party. Dance with some maidens who are desperate to charm you into falling madly in love with them. Or gentlemen. Fuck knows there's enough of both. Though it beats me how your personality hasn't driven them off yet. Must be because you haven't spent enough time actually talking to them.
Wei Wuxian rolls his eyes. It's more than would want to marry you.
Hey, you think I won't hit you? I think you couldn't.
Jiang Wenyin leaps at him, and the two get into a play fight that nearly lands them both in the water. Liang Wenji watches silently for a while. Since there's clearly no danger to it, and it's wonderful to listen to Wei Wuxian's bright laughter, it rapidly becomes clear that they've utterly forgotten their need to go back to the hall near the dancing, though. So he forces himself to interrupt, calling out.
Wing.
A-chan!
Wei Wuxian yells, throwing himself behind Lan Wenji's back.
Protect me!
He clearly doesn't need it. But if it's possible to say no when he asks for things, Lan Wenji hasn't figured out how. He says.
I'll protect you.
The prince groans.
Hey, focus! Will you protect him from the queen?
Lan Wenji would try. He would try with everything he had.
Wei,
he says gently.
You should go back. Don't get in trouble.
Not for me.
He doesn't add, but he thinks it. It isn't worth it. And besides, Wei Wuxian was right the night before. He doesn't meet as many people as possible. How will he know which one to marry? The idea of his marriage is abhorrent, but it doesn't matter if Lan Wenji hates it. If Wei Wuxian thinks it will help his sister, then he's going to do it. And if he's truly going to do it, then he deserves the best. No matter how anyone else feels about it. There's a sigh.
Fine.
But I'll be back. I swear. I'll be back later, A-chan. You'll still be here, right?
He'll stay as long as he's wanted. Forever, if Wei Wuxian asks.
Just get out of here,
Jiang Wenyin says, scowling.
Just distracting everyone, but eventually she'll run out of excuses. You'd better be back by then. I don't know why you won't just tell them about this guy, but since you won't, my mother's just going to think you're not taking this whole thing seriously. If she finds out we're helping you sneak away and you get Angie in trouble because you couldn't be fucked to tear yourself away from your...
I'm going!
Wei Wuxian yelps.
I'm going! A-chan, wait right here for me. I'll be back, I promise.
He squeezes Lan Wenji's shoulder and then races away down the path without waiting for a response, leaving him alone with the prince. Jiang Wenyin doesn't look particularly pleased about it. He's glaring like a storm cloud, an appearance that isn't improved by his purple robes and viper's mask. He looks like a very, very angry bruise. When it becomes clear he isn't going to either leave or start a conversation, Liang Wenji stands up slowly and bows deeply.
Your Highness,
he says. It doesn't placate the man. If anything, his expression darkens.
Listen,
he says.
I don't know who the fuck you are, but you better not be messing around with my brother. I don't know what you've heard, but to me and the princess, he's been around since we were children. If you're just having some fun, you can fuck off right now, all right?
Lan Wenji blinks at him and realizes, slowly, that he's being threatened. Does Jiang Wenyin treat all of Wei Wuxian's friends this way? If so, he may have to give Nie Huaisang more credit for bravery than he thought. When it becomes clear the prince expects a response, he nods.
I see.
You see? You fucking see? You'll see when I break both of your legs, that's when you'll see!
Lan Wenji blinks at him, not certain that made any sense, or even, frankly, that it was meant to.
Whatever,
Jiang Wenyin snaps.
I guess you'll be out here until Wei Wuxian comes back.
I hope you don't get bored too easily, because my mother is going to keep him pretty fucking busy. You might be waiting a while.
Since he brought a book, this isn't particularly worrisome,
So Lan Wenji just nods again, waiting expectantly for the conversation to be over. Wei Wuxian's brother is really... so loud. Jiang Wenyin seems ready to fight everyone on everything all the time at the slightest provocation. It's exhausting. The man scoffs.
What he sees in you,
he says.
I really have no idea. It's like talking to a wall.
This is not the first time someone said something like that to Lan Wenji. So he merely bows a final time as the prince stalks away, settling down on the rock again once he's alone. He wishes he could have brought his guqin to have something to play while he waits. But it's far too big and recognizable. His book, on the other hand, is quite small and fits easily into a sleeve or bag. He pulls it out, grateful that he thought to bring it again, and opens it, ready to be patient. Waiting, he's discovering, is much easier when he knows that Wei Wuxian is going to be on the other side of it. It takes a very long time. He reads for hours, sitting on the rock in the garden and looking up occasionally to watch the lotus flowers wave gently in the breeze. It's very beautiful, but it would be far lovelier if Wei Wuxian were there with him to fill the air with words and laughter and his wonderful smiles. To make the whole world come alive in his eyes and in his words. He misses Wei Wuxian all the more, knowing they're so close and that, maybe, Wei Wuxian might want to be here. That he said he'd be back. He'd made Lan Wenji promise to wait. He'd wanted to stay. That he'd thought of this, of them together, as something he didn't mind getting in trouble for. It gets very late. The moon is high in the sky, and the air is growing chilly, and only the lanterns lit all over the palace keep it bright enough to still see the text of the book. It's interesting, but all Lan Wenji can think about is what it would be like to talk about it with Wei Wuxian. Probably they would argue about the author's theories. About everything, like when they were in classes together. Lan Wenji desperately wants to have those arguments suddenly, sitting here knowing he won't have time. He will be so alone when he goes home. 8 o'clock comes and goes, and then 8:30. For a moment, Lan Wenji entertains the thought that Wei Wuxian has forgotten about him after all. Perhaps after meeting someone more exciting inside. But it doesn't matter. He promised to wait, and he will. No doubt his brother will be worried, but on the very last night, if he is a little late getting back to the cloud recesses in time for curfew, it doesn't matter. They can't prevent him from having come, and there will be no more opportunities to return. 9 o'clock, and still Wei Wuxian hasn't reappeared. Lan Wenji's body is conditioned after years and years of regimented schedules to go to sleep at exactly the same time every night. But he forces himself to keep his eyes open. It's nearly 10 before Wei Wuxian comes tearing into the garden, looking anxious and frantic and half terrified. There's a long rip in one of his sleeves. Lan Wenji jumps to his feet.
What's wrong?
Wei Wuxian stops dead and gapes at him. Achan, he says, and then he throws himself across the last few feet between them, colliding with Lan Wenji's chest and hugging him tight. You're here.
I'm here,
Lan Wenji says immediately, wrapping his arms protectively around Wei Wuxian, actively worried now.
What's wrong?
I thought you would have left. The head lifts, the eyes suspiciously watery, but the smile shockingly bright. It's so late, Achan. You usually leave hours before this. But you're still here. Lan Wenji blinks at him, helplessly confused. It's not precisely unusual when trying to follow Wei Wuxian's sleeping thoughts, but this seems more senseless than most.
You asked me to stay,
he says awkwardly.
And I said I would.
I know, but
It got so late, and the queen just kept introducing new people to me, and she kept watching me, and I really couldn't leave. I thought I was going to come back before this, I swear. Wei-Wuxian looks up beseechingly. I really didn't think I was going to make you wait this long. I can't believe you didn't leave. I was sure you would have left.
How could I leave?
Wei-Wuxian looks as confused as Lan Wenji feels. I would have blamed you. You always have to leave before this. There must be a good reason. Are you going to get in trouble? Have I ruined everything? Why did you stay?
Wing.
Lan Wenji says firmly, holding either side of that beautiful face with his hands, like he'll be able to convey his feelings directly through the press of his palms. It won't work, but nothing else seems to either.
You asked me to stay, and I said I would. How could I leave?
But
if you hadn't come until morning,
he tells him,
I would still have been here.
Wei-Wuxian stares at him, his eyes wide and shocked.
Achan, you...
After a long beat, he just buries his head in Lan Wenji's shoulder again, holding on tight and apparently giving up on conversation.
Lan Wenji doesn't mind. Wei-Wuxian is warm and solid and sweet like this.
Lan Wenji places one hand on his back and the other in his soft, clean hair. It's wonderful.
Why is your sleeve torn?
He says at last.
Did something happen?
Wei-Wuxian laughs, pulling back and smiling up at him. He's still close enough to be held, though, and he seems disinclined to remove himself to a respectful 5 feet away.
Oh, that. I had Niu Huaisheng pretend to do it accidentally. He was going to just spill something on me, but we were worried it wouldn't show up properly on black clothing. This was really obvious.
If that made sense somehow, Lan Wenji missed it. And it must be painfully obvious, because Wei-Wuxian starts laughing again.
Achan, he says. You're so cute when you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Lan Wenji tries to frown, but it's hard to even pretend to be unhappy about that.
Ridiculous,
he mutters, his ears burning.
But you are!
Wei-Wuxian protests. Anyway, I made Niu Huaisheng rip my sleeve so I'd have to change clothes and the queen would let me leave. I didn't want to get Zhang Tang or Li Jiejie in trouble, even though they both said they didn't mind. Well, Zhang Tang yelled a lot, but I'm pretty sure that's what he meant. But Niu Shong's older brother isn't even here, so that was better. Li Jiejie even offered to have Jin Zixuan do it, but that would just make it look like we'd gotten into a fight. And the last thing we need is more people saying we don't like each other. I really couldn't get out any other way, you see. The queen was watching me so closely after last night.
He takes a step back.
I do have to change now, though, so come on. Lan Wenji's head is swimming, and he just stares.
Wei-Wuxian grabs his wrist and tugs.
All my clothes are in my bedroom, he explains patiently. And I have to change, so come on.
Lan Wenji follows because the rest of his body is attached to his arm, so he has to. And because following Wei-Wuxian is always easier than watching him walk away. He feels a little like he's been hit on the head. Wei-Wuxian convinced 4 different people to cause a scene and ruin his clothes just so he could assure Lan Wenji that he wasn't forgotten? How ridiculous. How needless. Lan Wenji's so in love it hurts.
They walk through the palace, ducking into corners and empty rooms every time someone else passes. It always seems to require them to be very, very close together. Lan Wenji shoots Wei-Wuxian a look, trying to breathe evenly past the racing of his heart. But he just gets a shrug and an unapologetic grin.
If anyone sees me dragging a gorgeous man into my bedroom, rumors about Li Jiejie probably won't be a problem anymore. But I think the queen will probably be upset anyway.
As the man in question being, apparently, dragged into Wei-Wuxian's bedroom, Lan Wenji feels his ears flush again. It's truly unfair how easy Wei-Wuxian seems to find it to do that to him.
His own reputation for stoicism would probably die completely if anyone ever realized what a fool he turns into around one young man from Lotus Pier who teases him. The princess herself, along with another man recognizable as Jin Sushen under a white swan mask with gold accents, are waiting into the hallway they slide into next. This time, Wei Wuxian doesn't hide. Just runs right up to them, still dragging Lan Wenji behind him.
Li Jijie!
Axian, the princess says, smiling at him indulgently. She looks past him just briefly to bow politely and say,
You must be Achan.
Lan Wenji bows in response as well as he can with one of his wrists trapped. How did you get away? Jiang Yin Li smiles serenely.
I told Mother and Jin Furan that Ashuan and I were going somewhere to kiss for a while.
Clearly shamelessness runs in the family. Jin Cixuan chokes on air, apparently not having heard this before. He goes violently red and won't look anyone in the eye, hissing.
Ali, you didn't really, did you?
Of course I did.
Why do you think they were giggling together when we left?
Well, I thought... Ali, how could you say that? It isn't proper. We can't...
You'd better not, Wei Wuxian says, interrupting rudely and glaring Jin Cixuan down. I don't even want to think about you two doing that out here. You'd better treat my Li Jiejie with more respect than that peacock. The transformation from embarrassed young men in love to offended, puffed-up heir to the Jin clan is both impressive and immediate.
You have no right to dictate my actions, Wei Wuxian,
he says hotly.
And what exactly are you going into your bedroom to do? Maybe you should behave with more respect yourself.
Lan Wenji could tell him that trying to make Wei Wuxian embarrassed about his action is a pursuit doomed to failure. And sure enough.
Well, I was going to change clothes, but I'll have to take this off first. And then I'll be naked and helpless and vulnerable. And Achan's only a man after all.
So he'll probably lose control at the first sight of my nubile body and ravish me over every flat surface in the room.
I'm sure we'll make it to the bed eventually, but I think we'll probably start with the door.
You know, the one right there. The one you'll be standing outside of. Think you'll enjoy it?
Wuxian!
Axian! Axian!
The princess says, cutting them both off, her voice snapping out like a fan opening.
Lin Jinjie, your boyfriend! Ali, your brother!
Really, you two?
She says, more gently, smiling at them both and shaking her head.
If Axian and I are getting married soon, shouldn't you at least try to get along?
When they both glare at each other, indicating their general unwillingness to do anything of the sort, she adds sweetly,
For me?
Immediately, the two men assure her that of course they will. Lan Wenji is impressed, despite himself, but she just smiles and thanks them with every appearance of sincerity.
Hurry up, Axian, Jiang Yanli says. If you're gone too long, Mother will send someone to find you. Axian and I will stand out here and kiss.
Jin Zishan's blush returns full force, as does Wei Ying's murderous expression.
So anyone who comes into the hall will feel embarrassed and go somewhere else. That way no one will see you come out with your friend.
Li Jiejie, you're the best,
Wei Wuxian says sincerely. Peacock, if your hands go anywhere they're not supposed to, Zhang Cheng and I will cut them off.
Axian,
the princess says childingly, but she's giggling. Come on, Achan. He tucks Lan Wenji's unresisting arm again, sliding the door open and pulling him inside. The room is as much of a mess as Lan Wenji would have expected. Papers and clothes and books strewn across the floor like tiny mines he has to avoid to keep from destroying anything that belongs to Wei Ying. It's good, because it gives him something to focus other than the sound of a casual voice saying,
Ravish me over every flat surface in the room.
He's not sure his ears have stopped burning since that. Every table, or chair, or wall, is suddenly a place he could... Oh, if only he were blind for the next half hour. At least then he wouldn't be able to see his options. Wow, Denteng usually just steps on everything.
Wei Wuxian says.
You're so considerate, A-chan. You can sit on the bed if you like. I think that might be the only clear surface.
Liao Wenji looks at the bed, swallows hard, and opts to stand. Wei Wuxian goes to an open cabinet and rifles through it until he pulls out a different black silk overrobe to replace the torn one. This one has cloud detailing on the sleeves and silver thread.
Smoke, right? He says. It won't match the mask quite as well, but I think it's fine. And it's the last night anyway, so what does it matter? Anyone who wants to see me already has. I don't care much anymore.
They look like Gusu land clouds, not smoke. Liao Wenji swallows hard.
Then do you know who you will marry?
Wei Wuxian's hands jerk. He drops a garment on the floor. Laughing awkwardly, he bends to pick it up.
Don't I have to? The king and queen will expect me to have someone in mind, at least.
Oh.
He should leave it at that. Surely he'll hear who it is soon, once the wedding is announced. Like picking at a scab, though, he hears himself saying,
"There's someone you like?"
Wei Wuxian hesitates, looking at him sidelong.
You know, when the king and queen set this up, I really didn't think it would matter. Whether or not I found someone I liked. I'd only ever felt that way about someone once. Most of the time I flirt and have a good time, but I don't ever... I had my first love a long time ago, and then no one else ever seemed as good.
He'd had a first love. Liao Wenji wonders who it was, what it is that Wei Wuxian looks for in a partner. He's suddenly, bitterly, agonizingly jealous of someone whose name he doesn't even know.
Marry them,
he says, forcing the words through his mouth, because Wei Wuxian deserves to get what he wants. It's the most awful thing he's ever had to make himself say. Wei Wuxian just laughs, though.
Well, they never marry me. They hated me, I'm pretty sure. They thought I was so annoying.
No one just stiffens, offended on his behalf, but Wei Wuxian smiles at him.
Don't be mad, A-chan. I was annoying. I didn't even know I had a crush on them until Li Jieji explained it to me later. But I was always trying to get their attention and make them notice me. Except I didn't know how to, so I just teased them a lot. Like a little boy pulling on hair. It's no wonder they didn't like me at all. They must have been so relieved when I left and they were free of me.
Then they're an idiot,
Liao Wenji wants to say. But he can't quite make himself. Whoever this mysterious first love was, he hates them utterly. To have been offered Wei Wuxian's heart and to not have wanted it? Who? How? It's not only foolish, it's inconceivable.
Anyway, it's been so long since I saw them, and there was never anyone else. And I guess I sort of thought, that was it? I got my first love, but I screwed it up, and I only got one. So I just find someone who seemed nice and didn't mind just being friends. And that would be that. Except lately, I guess lately I've been thinking that maybe that's not good enough after all.
Good.
Good?
You deserve more than that.
A-chan, Wei Wuxian steps forward and then instantly trips on the hem of the silk cloth he's still holding. He blinks at it.
All right, I'm changing.
He throws it over the bureau he'd pulled it out of and then starts to undo his belt. Liao Wenji chokes and turns around so fast he feels dizzy.
Wei Ying!
He hears laughter behind him.
Ah, but A-chan Gege, you were so bold yesterday. Why are you acting so shy now when you have me all alone in my bedroom?
Liao Wenji can only sputter in response. And Wei Wuxian says, sounding delighted.
Don't be like that. I have things under this, A-chan. I'm not actually getting naked.
It doesn't matter. Watching him change is too intimate to bear.
Shameless!
He snaps. More laughter.
All right.
There is a sound of cloth rustling, and Liao Wenji tries not to imagine the images that would go with it.
Say, A-chan, what about you? Do you have someone you like?
someone he likes. As if that were all he felt. What can he say? No is dishonest, yes is impossible. He chooses nothing at all, hoping it was just an idle question, and Weiwuxian's quick mind will hop to something else. Something safer. But the silence hangs between them, broken only by footsteps and the soft shush of silk on silk. There's a touch on his arm. He can turn around now. I promise I'm decent again. When Lawanji does, Weiwuxian is standing just a foot away. Too close for sanity. He holds his arms out, the ones with the silver line clouds on them, and says, "How do I look?"
"Beautiful,"
Lawanji says honestly, watching him smile. There's a few strands of hair that have fallen into his face, lying across his nose in a way that must tickle. It makes him look soft and approachable, and Lawanji wants to make him put the mask back on so no one else ever gets to see how perfect he is. More than that, he wants to hold him tight and make sure everyone sees them together, so that it's clear who he belongs to. With. He clears his throat, gesturing.
"Your hair."
"Oh?" Weiwuxian takes a tiny step closer. "Fix it for me?"
He really is going to die.
Having his heart beat so quickly can't possibly be safe. Still, he says, helplessly, and reaches out. His hand trembles when he brushes Weiwuxian's hair to the side. It feels so obvious. They've touched so much these past days, but somehow this, in the bedroom, in silence, is what is going to break him completely.
"If you did like someone," Weiwuxian says, almost in a whisper, as if he's afraid to interrupt this strange tension too. "What would they be like?"
Lawanji looks at him, at the light in his eyes, the serious line of his mouth, the soft wisps of hair at his forehead. Words have never been his gift. Everything he could possibly say feels inadequate to describe someone this endlessly wonderful.
"They would shine so brightly,"
he manages finally,
"that I could see them clearly, even in darkness."
"Oh," comes out like a sigh. There's another long moment of silence. "You know," Weiwuxian says, looking nervous for the first time that Wenji can remember, "Li Jieji says you probably like me. Even Dan Cheng says you probably like me." He takes another step forward, closing the last tiny gap between their bodies, placing his hands on Lawanji's shoulders. "I really want you to like me." His head tilts up, his eyes close, and his mouth parts slightly. Lawanji has no skill at reading anyone who isn't his brother, but this is simple. He has never seen anyone so obviously wanting to be kissed.
"Ying,"
he whispers, and then he's helplessly falling into the gravitational pull of it. The first touch of their lips together is hesitant, but then Weiwuxian gasps and pushes closer, urgently, and Lawanji's often vaunted self-control snaps like a bowstring. He surges forward, pressing against Weiwuxian until they hit the wall and he can trap him there between it and his own body. They kiss hungrily, messy and awkward. Neither of them seem to have any idea what to do with their tongues, and their teeth clack together unpleasantly once. But Weiwuxian is clutching desperately at his shoulders and moaning into his mouth. And it doesn't matter if it's awful, because it's perfect anyway.
"We,"
he repeats when he finally has to pull away to breathe. They're both gasping for air, and Weiwuxian is leaning back against the wall. His mouth is open and red and slick with spit, and his pupils are blown wide. He looks wrecked. He looks thoroughly, thoroughly kissed. He looks like he belongs to someone.
"Ha-chan,"
he says.
"Ha-chan."
The world stops. It restarts slowly,
and stuttering breaths, as a horror sets in. Achan, the name he offered as a placeholder 2 nights ago. The name he's called because Wei Wuxian has no idea who he is. He stumbles backwards, watching as the happiness on Wei Wuxian's face fades to confusion and then concern. He reaches out a hand, and Liang Wenji jerks away, avoiding the touch. Achan? The name feels like a blow, beating his sins into him. He shakes his head, but it won't remove the fact of Wei Wuxian thinking he's just kissed someone who doesn't really exist. If only they'd actually been strangers. But Liang Wenji knows Wei Wuxian doesn't like him, never has, and would never willingly choose him for a partner. Which makes this not just horribly wrong, but cruel.
I have to go.
He gets out, the words feeling like they're being scraped out across his throat. Going is the last thing he wants to do.
What?
I have to go.
He repeats. Wei Wuxian looks horrified and still. Entrancingly, like he's just had his mouth open for a kiss. All Liang Wenji wants in the entire world is to press him against the wall again and keep him there until they both forget how to do anything else.
I should have done that. I should have. I can't.
His voice cracks on the last word, almost tearing a sob from him.
Achan, wait!
Liang Wenji doesn't wait. If he doesn't leave now, he won't. He shakes his head.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you. I never want to leave you, ever.
And runs. He opens the door to Wei Wuxian's bedroom and races into the hallway past Jiang Yanli and Jin Sishuan's shocked faces. Distantly, he hears Wei Wuxian scrambling after him, pushing past his sister's worried questions.
Wait! Wait! Come back!
Something catches on the back of his head, a tug, but he jerks free of it and keeps running. He's never run so fast. Out to the gardens, into the city, onto the road. He imagines he hears a voice calling out for him all the way until he stumbles out of the bolt hole into his brother's bedroom.
Wangji,
Lan Xichen says.
Wangji.
His voice shakes slightly. Liang Wenji knows he must be worrying his brother, stumbling back in hours after curfew, looking like a mess and refusing to explain. He can't seem to speak.
Here,
Lan Xichen says, reaching out to carefully untie the mask.
Let's just one thing at a time. I'll take care of everything. I'll help.
The rabbit mask falls away, and he freezes. Liang Wenji blinks up at his brother's suddenly blank face.
Wangji, where's your forehead ribbon?
Liang Wenji stares at him, trying to make sense of the words. Slowly, he reaches up and touches his face. His fingers find only smooth skin where there should be a line of silk. His mind feels slow and confused, told by heartache.
Oh,
he says at last, remembering the pull he'd felt in his hair as he'd left. Wei Wuxian must have tried to grab him and hold him back, but only succeeded in pulling off the ribbon.
Wuying has it.
He... what? Wangji, what happened?
He can keep it,
Liang Wenji says. It'll cause comment. More than that. Within the cloud recesses, it will probably cause a scandal. Lan Jiren may never forgive him, especially if he refuses to say how he lost it or where it is to anyone other than his brother. It's still appropriate, somehow, to think that the man who's held his heart and passions in his hand for years now holds the symbol of them as well.
Wangji, please tell me what's going on.
Liang Wenji stares at his brother.
Thank you for helping me see him,
he says at last.
He was kind.
Was it? If he heard you.
No,
Liang Wenji says. Wei Wuxian was vibrant and wonderful and everything he'd ever wanted.
No, it wasn't his fault. It was mine.
Lan Ji-ren is predictably furious the next day when Lan Wen-ji appears without his ribbon and looking exhausted. But Lan Xi-chen takes one look at both of them and grabs his uncle's arm, guiding him delicately to the side and allowing Lan Wen-ji to disappear safely to the outskirts of the cloud recesses, where his rabbits live. He ought to do work, but instead he spoils them with fruit and plays some music on his guqin. They don't care much about what he plays, but they like when he stays there and sits still enough not to startle them. It's very soothing. He tries not to think about why he needs to be soothed. When he goes to dinner, his uncle tells him stiffly that he's been assigned to copy out all 3,000 of the Institute rules 20 times, as punishment for his shameful conduct. Lan Wen-ji nods and glances at his brother to convey his gratitude when no questions are asked otherwise. Lan Xi-chen smiles back, but his eyes are worried. After dinner, Lan Wen-ji goes to his room. He waits until 9 o'clock. He goes to bed. After breakfast, he sits down in the library to copy the rules. He has never found it a hardship before, on the rare occasions that he's been assigned punishment work. But today, it leaves his mind free to wander. He focuses on making every character as perfect and beautiful as possible. But even then, it's hopeless. There's too much to remember. Kissing Wei Wuxian. Holding Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian smiling at him. Wei Wuxian leaning against the wall and gasping for air. Wei Wuxian pulling him closer and opening his mouth and moaning and... He wishes he could forget. He wishes he could pause the memories and live in them forever. Lan Xi-chen joins him after a few hours, sitting nearby and doing his own work. They don't speak, but it's comfortable just to have him there, offering silent support and affection. In moments like this, it's easy for Lan Wen-ji to imagine the rest of his life stretching out like this. Calm and easy, and terribly dull. A very long time ago, he thought it was what he wanted. Now, he's relieved by the interruption that comes a few hours after noon. Sewijin, Hanwenjin? The student says after entering and bowing to both of them. She looks distinctly uncomfortable. When Lan Xi-chen smiles inquiringly, the girl winces.
There's a visitor requesting entrance at the gate. It's the prince. Jiang Wenyin.
Lan Xi-chen's eyebrows shoot up, and he glances at Lan Wen-ji, who returns the look with a frown. It seems impossible for a royal visit to not be related to his recent excursions, but he would have otherwise sworn that no one in Lotus Spear knew his real identity.
He's requesting entrance?
Lan Xi-chen repeats. The girl shifts her weight awkwardly.
He is upset, she says at last.
In other words, he's yelling and demanding to be allowed in.
How very characteristic.
Lan Xi-chen says, having clearly come to the same conclusion.
In that case, I'll be there in just a moment.
Thank you,
she says fervently. She bows far more deeply than necessary, which truly demonstrates how troublesome the prince must be making himself, and flees.
Wang-ji, you don't have to come, but I'll come,
Lan Wen-ji says. His brother's implication is clear. This is probably something to do with your actions, and since you won't tell me what happened, I don't know what's going on without you. It's true. They hear Jiang Wenyin before they see him. He is, in fact, demanding to be allowed entrance. Very loudly. Lan Wen-ji has never been able to quite bring himself to particularly like the crown prince, mostly because his entire personality seems to be made of anger and posturing. It's so unnecessary. However, he's also never witnessed a scene of quite this caliber. Jiang Wenyin,
lived in the cloud recesses for years while in school, got into less trouble than we wish he managed in 6 months, despite the fact that volume of this kind is prohibited. Lan Xichen steps into sight at the gate and clears his throat delicately, gesturing smoothly at the guards to have them stand aside. Jiang Wenyin apparently hasn't forgotten himself quite enough to barge past the head of the Lan family, and he even stops shouting, which bodes at least somewhat well.
What can I help you with?
Lan Xichen says politely. In the distance, Liao Wenji sees Lan Jiren hurrying toward them as well, news of the commotion having spread.
Zhou Jun,
Jiang Wenyin says in a growl, which is much worse sign.
You can let me in and tell me which of your fucking bastard son of a bitch family members is missing their forehead ribbon.
Lan Xichen says. And Liao Wenji remembers that since the entire royal family studied here at one point or another, naturally none of them would miss the significance of the cloud detailing on the ribbon Wei Wuxian pulled from his head the other night. He can see his brother consider the options, the smile on his face never faltering. And then Lan Xichen steps to the side.
I believe you're looking for my brother, Wang Ji.
Now Wang Ji has an instant to feel utterly betrayed before the prince yells.
What?
Jiang Wenyin hurtles through the gate, spots Lan Wang Ji, and snarls.
It would be you!
He doesn't let anyone respond to that, just charges across the scant distance between them. And only the way his arm pulls back gives Lan Wenji time to brace and twist slightly to the side before the crown prince of the realm punches him squarely in the face. In the next moment, Lan Xichen is jumping in between them, eyes wide. Lan Jiren is running the final distance and demanding to know what's going on. And over it all, Jiang Wenyin is shouting,
"You made my brother cry!"
Lan Wenji freezes, his hand halfway to his face. It takes a while for everyone else to settle down, but at last Jiang Wenyin is scowling at him from 10 feet away, his arms crossed defensively over his chest. Lan Xichen and Lan Jiren are staying between both of them, and everyone else in the area is pretending not to be paying attention. It's almost certainly not true, but at least most of them are doing an admirable job acting it out.
"Now, Your Highness,"
Lan Jiren bites out.
"My nephew has been here for weeks. Whatever it is you imagine he's done."
"Yeah?"
Jiang Wenyin snaps, brandishing a fist full of delicate white fabric.
"Weeks, huh?
How come I have his forehead ribbon then?"
Liao Wenji ignores all of this as unimportant.
"Wenyin cried?"
he demands. The prince sneers at him.
"What? You mean after you jerked him around and led him on and then fucked up without so much as a have a nice life?" "No, of course not. He was completely fine."
Liao Wenji feels his heart constricting his chest, like someone has reached out and tried to crush it in their hand.
"I didn't mean to." "To break his heart?"
Jiang Wenyi says mercilessly.
"Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a huge comfort to him. I'll just go home and let him know. What on earth is going on?"
Lan Jiren is almost purple with fury, and Lan Xichen lays a comforting hand on his shoulder as the prince draws himself up, eyes flashing.
"What's going on is that your nephew came to Lotus Pier 3 nights running and, I don't know, seduced my brother."
"No,"
Lan Wenji says, startled into interrupting. Everyone looks at him.
"No seduction."
"Oh,"
Jiang Wenyin says, his voice poisonous.
"How about lied to him, took advantage of him, and hurt him?"
Lan Wenji swallows.
"Yes."
"How about made him think you were in love with him to, like, fuck with him or something?"
"No."
Jiang Wenyin stops, frowning at him.
"No? No, never."
More slowly, Jiang Wenyin says.
"So, made him think you were in love with him in order to play an elaborate game of revenge for that one time he tricked you into looking at porn when we were kids?"
Lan Wenji stares at him in horror.
"No."
"Why then?
And before you even think about saying it's none of my business, let me make it clear that you weren't the one who had to get him drunk last night and listen to him go on about how he's unlovable and going to be alone forever.
Wing is not unlovable.
Yeah? Who says? Who's going to love him? Clearly not you, and probably not anyone else either, because he's too busy being a sad sack at home and moping all over the palace and completely ruining his good looks.
It doesn't matter that he's obviously been baited. It doesn't matter that he's in public, and he's kept this secret for as long as he's known it. He's tired and heartsore, and we wish him isn't just lovable, but the most loved thing in his life.
Yes,
he says.
Me.
The prince raises his eyebrows, unimpressed.
Yeah?
You love him? Lawenji nods jerkily, not trusting his voice.
Then why the fuck are you here?
Zhang Wenyi's roar echoes through the space. Heads turn to look at them everywhere. Any pretended disinterest on the part of their audience fails in the face of the Crown Princess volume.
Why aren't you with him, being disgustingly happy together and making me sick? He says that he threw himself at you and you run off like he assaulted your virtue, but if you're fucking in love with him, then why the fuck did I have to come all the way to the goddamn club races to fucking get you?
Nanshi Chen winces.
If you could lower your voice.
Ask me if I fucking care about your rules right now.
To Lawenji's surprise, his brother grins, easy and amused. Fair enough. Zhang Wenyin blinks at him, momentarily derailed, and then he visibly decides it doesn't matter, turning back to the true object of his ire.
Well, I'm waiting.
He doesn't know who I am.
Lan Wenji whispers. It's humiliating to admit his infractions out loud.
I didn't tell him we'd ever met before.
Yeah, clearly. That was fucking shitty of you. Is that it?
Wing doesn't like me. If he'd known, he would never have.
He stops. There is a long moment of silence.
You have got,
Zhang Wenyin says,
to be fucking kidding me.
He looks up at the sky, pinching the bridge of his nose and closing his eyes.
I hate you two so fucking much. I'm going to break both of Wei Wuxian's legs for making me go through this bullshit.
He points at Lan Wenji.
You're going to come home with me right now. You're going to tell him fucking everything. And if you're very lucky, after that, my sister and I won't cut you up into tiny, painful pieces. Don't think I'm joking. I'm the fucking crown prince. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted to you, and no one would stop me.
I can't,
Lan Wenji blurts out. And Zhang Wenyin grabs his sword hilt, his expression ugly.
It won't help if I tell him. He'll be angry.
Good,
the prince snarls.
I hope he's angry, do you understand? I hope he's as fucking furious at you as I am. I would be so fucking happy to see Wei Wuxian angry right now, because it would be a massive step up from fucking miserable. Are you coming, or am I making you?
Wei Wuxian is miserable.
I'm coming.
Damn right you are.
My family has a bolt hole a mile down the mountain. I can use that to get us right into the palace, and this shit can be over and done with today. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Zhang Wenyin!
Lan Jiren snaps, apparently recovered from his apoplectic rage, though he can't seem to look directly at Lan Wenji.
Those are made with ancient magic and are only meant for emergencies. With all due respect, sir,
Zhang Wenyin says, his voice tight.
My brother cried. It's a fucking emergency.
They come out of the bolt hole in what looks like a small study with, in an odd repetition, Princess Zhang Yanli guarding the door. She glances back at them briefly before peering out into the hallway again, saying, Atan, you're back? Good, I think I heard father. She cuts herself off and whirls around. Is that Lan Wenji?
Meet Wei Wuxian's Atan,
Zhang Wenyin says flatly. A beat.
Oh. I know. I'm so fucking mad about it.
Lan Wenji stares past them, refusing to admit how completely lost he is. walking the mile down the mountain with a man who hates him for completely respectable reasons had been unpleasant. But there was something equally disturbing about the sudden knowing look on Zhang Yanli's face. She smiles at him sweetly, and he abruptly feels very known, in a way he's unused to from anyone but his brother. Han Guangjun, she says politely. I hope you're here to see Axian. He nods. Good. Zhang, I really do think I heard father coming this way, so you should go. I'll clean up and make sure it's not obvious that someone's been using the bolt hole here.
Is Wei Wuxian?
In his room.
Miserable bastard.
Zhang Wenyin mutters.
Thanks, Adie.
She waves them off, and Lan Wenji follows the prince through the cool, delicate corridors of the royal palace. It's beautiful in the daytime, too, he notes. He wonders if Wei Wuxian likes it better lit this way, or if he prefers it with the moonlight filtering down the cloudy sky. Wei Wuxian prefers to stay up late, he knows. Maybe he thinks the wood paneling is best bathed in silver, not gold. Maybe... not that Lan Wenji will ever find out. They don't hide from the servants this time. Zhang Wenyin just strides past them, the set of his chin daring everyone to ask questions. None of them do. Wei Wuxian would probably smile and charm them and know all their names. He teased them, and then teased back. Lan Wenji would be jealous until... Until nothing, he reminds himself. This is not for him. He'll tell Wei Wuxian the truth, and let him be angry instead of sad. And then he'll go home. He'll finish copying the Institute rules. He'll read obscure historical treatises. He'll help his brother organize classes.
Here,
Zhang Wenyin says, stopping in front of a door.
Oh, Wei Wuxian!
There's a groan from inside. Lan Wenji's heart is a hummingbird trapped in his chest. A fast-flowing river that's been dammed. It's beating so hard, and he has nowhere to go but the cage of his ribs.
Go away, Zhang Zhang. I'll go swimming with you tomorrow. Fuck off! Who wants to go swimming with you? You said earlier... Shut up!
Zhang Wenyin takes a deep breath.
Open the door. I got you a present.
I don't want it.
Too bad!
Zhang Wenyin snaps. He slides the door open without permission and with slightly excessive force.
You're getting it anyway!
Wei Wuxian is lying on the bed with his arm over his face. His black and red hanfu is half undone, his collarbones exposed beneath the pale skin of his neck. His hair is barely pulled up, messy and tangled. Lan Wenji wants, desperately, to go to him and comb it out until it's straight and smooth and shiny again. Wei Wuxian groans again, lifting his arm.
Zhang Zhang, I don't want...
Their eyes meet. Wei Wuxian pushes himself up on his elbows.
The present is a person?
Zhang Zhang, if you've gotten me a prostitute...
He stops abruptly, his gaze focusing on Lan Wenji's face as his eyes widen.
Lan Chan?
No, I think you should call him a prostitute again,
Zhang Wenyin says.
You moron...
Wei Wuxian leaps to his feet. Ah, sorry, Lan Chan, I was just... He waves a hand vaguely.
If a person is a person, doesn't that make it seem like they're probably a prostitute?
Never mind.
Why are you here with my brother? Lan Wenji can't think of a single way to respond to that at all.
But Zhang Wenyin just shoves him roughly and says,
Into the room!
He marches forward, grabs Wei Wuxian's hand, and dumps the forehead ribbon into it. Wei Wuxian stares at it in confusion.
That belongs to him. Talk to each other.
I wish I'd never fucking met either of you.
He leaves as abruptly as he'd come, slamming the door shut behind him. They're alone. Wei Wuxian is still holding the ribbon. He laughs awkwardly.
If this is yours, Lan Chan, then I guess I should give...
Lan Wenji sees the exact moment he realizes, because he goes completely rigid, his hand stretching the ribbon out in front of him, the cloud embroidery clear in the sunlight. Wei Wuxian looks up very, very slowly. His face is chalk white.
A ton?
He asks. His voice cracks,
He looks horrified.
Lao Wenji nods.
He doesn't trust his voice.
Oh. Wei Wuxian whispers. He looks very small.
Oh. Of course.
Lan Chang. Han Chan.
And the rabbit mask.
You left at 8:30 because everyone in the cloud races and sleeps at 9.
And the way you...
He looks away. His voice is tiny when he says,
I'm so stupid.
No.
Lao Wenji protests immediately.
Not stupid.
You must have thought I was an idiot.
Wei Wuxian says, as if he hadn't heard. He won't even look at him.
It was so obvious, and I never even thought. I must have made you so uncomfortable.
I'm sorry. I kept making you spend time with me and wait for me and...
He flushes.
And you're too honorable and kind to say no to someone that desperate, I suppose.
Lao Wenji opens his mouth and finds that nothing at all comes out. There must be something wrong with his earring. That's the only possible explanation. That, or there's something wrong with his brain. Or he's slipped into an alternate universe, one where the rules have been reversed and he's no longer the one who spent the last several days behaving desperately.
And then I talked about you to you!
Wei Wuxian says, closing his eyes.
That's just... Could you have stopped me?
Definitely the alternate universe.
You didn't talk about me.
Wei Wuxian is still ignoring him.
My first love was my second love. And I went and talked about how much he hated me. And how annoying it was.
He smiles at Lan Wenji, looking at him again for the first time since he realized. It's not a very nice smile. Bitter. Unhappy. Lan Wenji aches to wipe it away with one of his fingers.
At least I was self-aware, huh? It must have been even more annoying the second time around, right, Lan Chang?
Lan Wenji is having a stroke. Possibly a heart attack.
Either his brain is breaking, or his heart is.
Wei Ying,
he says.
Wei Ying, you mean your first love? Did you mean can't have meant me?
He waits for the laugh. Ling,
of course not! What a ridiculous idea! You never!
Instead, Wei Wuxian's mouth twists miserably before it settles again into that grotesque approximation of his usual bright expression.
Sorry,
he repeats.
I won't mention it again. I know it was probably uncomfortable to have to listen to.
This isn't happening. Can't have meant me,
Lan Wenji says again dumbly.
That doesn't... Can't have been me. He didn't like you. Your first love. You said so. I heard you say so.
He's aware that he probably sounds fairly stupid to himself.
But that's not... It can't be.
Right, Wei Wuxian says slowly. You don't. Everyone knows you don't.
Everyone knows you got a woman pregnant.
Now when she snaps. He takes a deep breath, trying to achieve any sort of calm. But he's dimly aware that he's trembling slightly, all through his body. He can't stop it. It's as if the force of his beating heart has sent him vibrating like a plucked string.
Wei Ying,
he says.
Wei Ying, listen. I have loved you since we first met.
Dead silence.
Then, choked and disbelieving, Wei Wuxian says,
we tried to beat each other up when we met. Whereas I tried to bribe you with alcohol.
Yes.
Lao Wenji thinks about it.
Might have taken a couple weeks. Not longer.
But I
love you.
Lao Wenji says firmly. It doesn't matter what happens next. Wei Wuxian thought Lao Wenji didn't like him. There's nothing more disturbingly, terribly wrong than that. Wei Wuxian should always know how loved he is.
Always loved you. Why do you think I came to see you?
To see me?
Wei Wuxian repeats faintly.
I said so.
Yes, but really? To see me?
Why is your memory so bad?
I said so.
You came to see me. Wei Wuxian says slowly, like he's carefully feeling his way through a dark room. And you came to see me again. And you missed me. And you waited when I asked. Lan Wenji tries to nod, but then he has an armful of Wei Wuxian, clutching at him like he'll go mad if they ever have to separate again. Lan Wenji can sympathize. He holds Wei Wuxian as tight as he can, letting him burrow closer, like he's trying to climb inside of Lan Wenji. They're both shaking, and Wei Wuxian is saying, over and over again, "You love me. You love me. You really love me."
"Yes," Lan Wenji says. "Yes, always. I love you. Don't ever think anything else. I love you."
Lan Chan.
"I'm here."
"Don't leave this time."
"I won't."
They stand there for what feels like hours, but it's probably really only a few minutes. When Wei Wuxian lifts his head up, his eyes are watery, but he's smiling properly, bright and shining. "Say, Lan Chan," he says, with a teasing lilt in his voice Lan Wenji can't help but adore. "If I kiss you again, are you going to run away? I don't want to have to send Jiang Chang out for you a second time."
"You didn't send him out for me this time."
"Lan Chan! You're supposed to say you can kiss you as many times as I like, and you'll never leave again!" Lan Wenji leans down and presses his lips to Wei Wuxian's jaw.
"Kiss me as many times as you like. I won't leave."
"Oh," Wei Wuxian says, batting his eyelashes. It looks absolutely ridiculous, and it's clearly supposed to. But Lan Wenji finds himself hopelessly charmed anyway, as always.
"Are you sure? I think you should prove it."
"Shameless."
"Lanar ge ge,"
Wei Wuxian whines. Lan Wenji shudders.
"Shameless,"
he murmurs again, but he does it against Wei Wuxian's lips. And then there's nothing either of them can say anymore. It starts tentative, but Wei Wuxian digs his fingernails into the back of Lan Wenji's neck and pulls away long enough to say, so close that Lan Wenji can practically taste the words on his tongue, "Lan Chan, more." And that's it. They're lost. Lan Wenji is a river rushing to the sea. He feels out of control, and he finds he doesn't care at all. No rules, no restraint, no moderation. He's hungry, starving, a greedy, grasping thing, all for the sounds that Wei Wuxian keeps gasping into his mouth. He tries to make order out of the chaos of sensations. One, Wei Wuxian pushing into every touch. Two, running his hands down Wei Wuxian's back. Three, Wei Wuxian's hair tangling around his fingers. Four, Wei Wuxian's messily tied hanfu gaping open. Five, Wei Wuxian. They kiss until they're breathless, until the urgency gentles into something softer, until they're just pressing their lips together tastily. Wei Wuxian bites down on Lan Wenji's lower lip, and then laughs, hanging around Lan Wenji's neck and pressing their foreheads together. Lan Wenji kisses the sound out of his mouth, tasting his happiness. It's clumsy. He finds he can't keep his own mouth from widening into a foolish grin. "Who's shameless now, Wei Wuxian teases.
"You."
"Lan Chan, I'm not the one who's in someone else's bedroom, alone, trying to ravish them."
Lan Wenji feels his ears burn.
"Who's trying to ravish you?"
Wei Wuxian pouts at him.
"You mean you're not? What more do I have to do?"
"Shameless."
Wei Wuxian laughs again, looking so gloriously, wonderfully happy, that Lan Wenji finds himself helplessly entranced, a moth to the brilliant flame of that smile. "Lan Chan," he says, "you're so good. Don't ever leave.
never want to be with anyone but you. That's what I meant the other night, when I said I didn't think I could marry someone who was just a friend anymore. I meant I didn't think I could marry anyone but you.
Don't.
Lawanji tells him instantly.
Don't marry anyone but me.
I won't, Liwishan says, resting his head on Lawanji's shoulder, facing the crook of his neck, held so close that Lawanji can feel his breath. I won't, I promise. That means you're going to marry me, right? You really made me fall for you twice, so you have to take responsibility, okay?
I'm going to marry you.
Lawanji agrees, as if he could ever want to do anything else. As if he hasn't been longing to just be allowed to stand next to Iwushin and care for him.
I'll take responsibility.
I've landed such an upright and honorable go-go, Iwushin says. He's smiling, knowing you can feel it on his skin. So willing to take the consequences for his actions. Doesn't that mean you're going to be a good provider for me?
Wing.
You're not going to provide for me? Lawanji tries to find the words to say that if he could pick something to do for the rest of his life, if he could only have one wish, he could only have one vocation, if he could fulfill a single dream, it would be to take care of Iwushin forever. To make sure he never has a reason to be anything other than happy and comfortable and content. To feed him awful spicy food and love him. And hold him tightly. Responsibility has nothing to do with it. Honor has nothing to do with it. It's a selfish impulse, he knows. Greedy. Possessive. It's nothing more or less than the agonizing desire to be everything Iwushin needs. To be needed every day. So that he will never again love someone locked in a house that he is only rarely allowed inside. If he's needed, really needed, then don't they have to be together?
Lantern, Iwushin says.
He lifts his head slightly and presses his lips to the side of Lawanji's neck. I can feel your heart beating, Lantern. It's so fast. You look so calm, but I found you out.
That's what it always feels like,
Lawanji says,
when I'm with you.
Iwushin raises his head properly so they can look one another in the eye again. When I'm with you, he says seriously, I feel calm. Like, for once, I can rest my feet by the side of the road I've been running down, and you'll watch for wolves. I've never been so... He bites his lip. Lan-chan, you make me feel safe. Lan-wan-ji trembles, staring. It's the most gratifying, terrifying, beautiful thing anyone has ever said to him. He'll spend the rest of his life happily trying to live up to that.
Yes,
he says.
Yes. Wing, I'm here.
I know, Iwushin says, and he leans forward for a soft, lingering press of their lips. Lan-chan, you're so good to me. Lan-wan-ji shakes his head. It's not true.
I lied.
Not about anything important. You came to see me. You waited for me. I didn't know how badly I needed you until you were there. And then you were always there when I needed you. Iwushin says firmly. I love you, Lan-chan. Did I say that? Well, I'm going to say it to you all the time now. I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to marry you. I want to run around playing games with you. I want to sit quietly and talk with you. I want to live with you, and wake up with you, and go to sleep with you every night. If you hadn't come back, I wouldn't have let the queen marry me to anyone else, no matter what she said. I could never have married anyone but you. There's never been anyone else but you. I don't think it's possible for me to have anyone but you. Lan-wan-ji closes his eyes. They're threatening to fill with tears, to spill out all his feelings in an endless tsunami.
I...
No, it's okay. You don't have to say anything. I get it now. What you've been telling me all this time. Lan-wan-ji feels a thumb brush gently underneath his eyes.
Let's just kiss again, okay, Lantern? Kiss me and hold me. And never let me go. And I'll listen. I know it means you love me too. I can feel your heartbeat. I can feel your arms around me. That's enough for me. It's not enough. It shouldn't be enough. Huiying should be able to hear every second of every day that he's loved. If anyone in the world should be cherished, it's him. Yawanji will make that clear as soon as possible. But for now, there's this. The scratch of his slightly chapped lips. The soft warmth of his mouth. The tug of his slender fingers on the clothes separating them. Yawanji surrenders himself to it.
I love you.
He thinks as they lose themselves in each other.
I love you.
He thinks when they stumble and fall into Wei Ying's bed.
I love you.
He thinks when he pulls the tie out of Wei Ying's messy hair and spreads it across the pillow.
I love you.
He says, pushing himself up on his elbows after he sucks a mark into the perfect skin of Wei Ying's neck.
Will you marry me?
A smile spreads across Wei Ying's face, bright as a full moon. Tan Chan, he says. My A Chan, he says. Yes. The end.